Okay, that moves us to the manager's report. So we'll turn it over to Olimon.
Let's finish Brent Man first.
Okay.
Scootumpa.
All right, man.
Scootumpa, man.
I graciously yield the floor to Scootumpa.
All right. Scootie, those are really nice.
It's a long, only have 10 people to go along with it.
I don't have a flip chart.
Come prepared, man. Basically, here's what the empty water system needs to be functional this year. We need to repair the cut we made here where we needed to get fish into the line, which is no big deal. It only takes a few minutes. We need to put a valve in here. And this is that valve there is critical. This valve here is critical. But the other thing that's critical is we need a generator to run this AC pump. Probably going to cost a new one somewhere in the neighborhood of $650. You know, we pay the years with taxes. Yeah, okay. Anyway, we need a generator there. This generator is only going to be run about once every week to 10 days during the high season. This solar pump supplied the entire cabins and the Allen Speed, who had his whole clan there. We had 14 people living off the water system, and the solar pump supplied it all. Okay.
Quietly, too.
So, that's right, you were there. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, this AC pump will need to be run on very few weekends. 4th of July, maybe, before the 4th of July, before the 24th of July. And if we start with full tanks before Memorial Day and get the system up and running, let the solar pump do all the work, we won't even need to run it before Memorial Day. So this AC, or the generator is not critical. We don't have to go out and buy it tomorrow, but I would like to have it before Memorial Day. Okay, if we want to make this.
What's the size need? What is the generator?
The generator we ran it on last year was a 5,000 watt with a 6,250 watt surge.
Is there the ability?
We need one temporarily. I got the one up there that'll run it.
Okay.
It can be took up there and used and then brought back.
Okay. All right. So, well, great. We got time to search around for the best deal we can get.
Is there the ability to put a timer on it? Since you just said that you got to go in, turn it on, and then come back and turn it off.
We can, but that's going to raise our expense skyrocket.
It's going to be too expensive.
Because then we're going to have to get an electric start. We're going to have, then we'll have to do a timer and all that other stuff. I like the solar.
Oh, yeah.
The solar works good.
Totally.
It'll keep things filled. But here's the one question I got for you. You guys will have to make the decision. There's a hydrant right here that people use to fill their water when they haul water. Okay? Not usually a problem, but most people are hauling anywhere between 100 and 300 gallons at a time. But once again, usually not a problem. Until you get somebody who comes in there,
washes their car,
or fills their tank, and then they start filling their tank and they don't want to wait. And trust me when I tell you, with 285 feet ahead, it doesn't take very long to fill a water tank. But they get bored, and they'll wander down and start fishing, and then this thing will just run and run over, and they won't even notice it until they see the water running down the road. Now, once again, when you live on as little water a day as I live on...
Can that be put on another line so it doesn't drain the system down?
We can do that. We can do that, or we can, and it's not critical to do it right now, but we can do that, until we can put it on another line, we can lock it up. What we were actually thinking about doing was running it off of this tank rather than the upper tank.
Yes.
And then that way, the spring is always feeding this.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That's okay. A much better way to do
anyway,
it.
It's a much better way to do it, but... The big problem is when somebody washes their car, and there are people that wash their cars out there. And trust me, that's an aggravation, because they wash their car, it's going to get dirty again.
Yes,
yeah. And they wash their car, and I'm watching all that water running down the road. So anyway.
What was that pipe that used to be down by that?
Right by the pond?
That's an overflow. That's what this is here.
Is it still there?
It's been broken off, but it's still there. The overflow still works, but the pipe, but we got to fix the pipe. It's not critical, but the overflow down there was to let anybody know that this tank was full.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
But now that we have the solar pump working all the time, it's not critical to know that the tank's full or not full. But anyway, so valve, generator,
tank.
We need, and then this drain line here, we ultimately are going to need to fix. But that's not critical. Okay.
So shouldn't we get a list of components with the pricing? And
I can, but you know what? We're talking $300 to fix everything we need to fix.
Great.
And time.
Yeah, and time.
Plus
time's a big thing.
Plus generator.
And I don't charge the ranch for my time. I did when I was manager. The ranch owes me $3,000. I have to pay taxes on that money, just in case anybody wants to know. And I actually ended up paying, if everything I earned last year from Deer Springs Ranch went to pay taxes for myself this year.
Wow.
Just so you know, I worked for nothing. So, all right, here's the lower water system. So I'm just giving you a thumbnail sketch of how this thing works. There's a 40,000-gallon tank at the north end of the airstrip. There's roughly a little over a mile worth of 4-inch pipe that goes down here to this valve box. And this is just part of the lower water system. Okay? Down in the pasture, north of the ranch house, is the generator shack. The irrigation well is in the same shack as that is. It's tied into our domestic water system, and we can use it on an emergency basis. However, it's the pump doesn't run, and the only time we can run it for irrigation, and in an emergency when this is down, we can use the supply water to our domestic setup. Our domestic well is right here. It's an AC pump that supplies 50 gallons a minute. That pumps from there all the way through up here and fills this tank. Okay, so it roughly pumps 3,000 gallons an hour into that tank. All right, and so but to run it, it takes 3 gallons an hour of diesel fuel. So start doing the math on how much we spend on diesel when we're filling this thing, and you have an idea of what it costs us to do it.
Solar replacement seems like a good idea.
What's that? Well, a solar isn't valuable here because of the volume. During the season, the volume of water that we move with the livestock watering and everything else, we'd be dependent on this AC pump no matter what, unless we spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, which we don't have. Okay. Nothing along this system, this is all pretty new, nothing along this system needs repair.
Well, and let it be known, there are some ranch members that pay for water off of that tank.
We have one person right now who's connected. That's Rod Johnson. He's connected right here. His water line runs down to 143. Larry is eventually going to hook in, and he's over on 146. There's somebody else who paid for connection fee. I don't remember who they are. Anyway, they've got, in fact, their saddle to connect to the system is sitting in the storeroom banner. Okay, this is the rest of the lower water system. At the valve box here, which you can shut off here, there's a valve at the 40K tank. You can shut off here, and you can shut it off here, so water won't go back this way, or more importantly, if you got a repair to make, this water won't come down this way. And you can still leave this water coming down to the cabins and the headquarters. But anyway, there's two valves here which we installed and put the water system together, which was a good move. Okay? So it gives us a level of flexibility. There's a pressure reducing valve here because if we didn't have that pressure reducer there, we'd have 150 pounds of head pressure down there at the headquarters. And so you open a valve down there and you'd be, you're every time your toothbrush would, descend. So anyway, I kind of missed through this last night. I was in a hurry. The water line kind of runs, and this is just real basic. The water line kind of runs along here, and what we need to have a valve that we can isolate these three cabins with. This one's not critical, but we need to do it eventually. But here is what is critical. Cabin 7, we have to replace the water valve there. The stop and waste valve leaks. So when one of our members came in last to stay for one day. Oh, excuse me. No, this is 6. This is 7. Excuse me. Anyway, I'll repair that.
Anyway.
Well, we were in it when it had no water.
Cabin 7.
Had no water.
We had a very bad cold snap in November. That valve leaked. That cabin froze. I spent 7 hours thawing the pipes. The member came in, stayed one night. They stayed almost less time than it took me to open the cabin. Okay? And it happened to be snowing that day, and the only place you can thaw the pipe is to lay right under the grip line of the roof. And so I laid there on my belly for 7 hours with my torch, thawing out these pipes.
Did
okay.
anybody get film
of this? Film of what? Anyway.
Best use of his time.
Yeah.
You know, and I know
critically needs to be repaired. Not now, necessarily, because it doesn't leak when it's in the open position. It only leaks when it's in the closed position. But it has to be repaired before winter. No question about it. Same problem down here at Cabin 8. The valve, and we also have a hose bib that's broken here that we have to repair. Down here at Cabin 8, we have two valves. They have a shutoff valve, and then they have a drain valve. Well, last year, our last on-site manager broke the drain valve. And rather than fix it, he buried it. And so I had to go in and dig it up and find out that the valve was broken. This, right now, once again, not critical, but it does need to be repaired. Okay? But I would like to be able to put a valve in here at one point in time or another to isolate these cabins and not shut water off to the rest of the ranch. The water line goes down and then drops down. I didn't put the roads in to confuse anyone, but the water goes down the road that goes down between the cabins. Everybody know where that is? And then it goes off and goes to cabin 10 and cabin 9. We need to put a valve in here eventually so we can isolate cabin 10 and cabin 9.
Why don't you valve it so you can isolate each individual cabin?
Well, each cabin has their own valve on it.
No, I mean in the main line.
Oh, well, we can do that. We can do that. I'm trying to keep the expense down but make it functional.
Well, if you have a water break in one of the cabins,
yeah, the guy's
a heck of a lot more than the two valves to put it in at first.
Well, that's true. That's true.
How is it that the entire water system got put in with no valves?
I wasn't here. I don't know. I think what they were trying to do was get it installed and get it in, and surprisingly, it's been remarkably functional for many, many years, and so it's not for me. I can't go back and be too critical on how the valves are installed.
There may even be some valves that we don't know where are. Some of this has been done by 10 different people over 15, 20 different years, and so there are some valves that we may not even know where they are.
Okay, about a week ago, I'm in bed. Now, I pretty much go to bed early, and somebody knocked at my door. And so I walked over, and I opened my door, and who happened to, does it happen to be? The only man! And he says, I got a broken hydrant down there at the headquarters. Where's the water shut off? Well, the only place that I knew that I could tell him to find, because the only way he works real well is when you talk slow and you use big arm movements and you have a diagram for him to understand. So I told him to go down to the 40-gallon tank and shut the bottom. There's 6,000 gallons of water in that water line from the 40,000 gallon tank down to the headquarters. Okay, actually there's a little bit more. There's roughly 6,000 gallons of water down to this valve box, and then there's another 1,000 plus gallons down here. So he shut it off there to stop this hydrant from broke over here. Okay, once again, when you live on a little water a day, it brings a tear to your eye to see water going down and being wasted. So
plus it takes a long time to be able to get at that valve and fix it.
Tremendous amount of time to get it drained off.
Around that thing draining out.
Mud hole.
What Vance, yeah, Vance came up with for this weekend meeting, Vance is going to, we're going to underground detect, luckily for us, the electrical line that runs everything runs along with the water line. Okay? And so what we want to do, this is the old barn where the sawmill is, by the way, and I think everybody should come over and look at the sawmill.
It's pretty.
And anyway, the water line basically comes down here and turns and then goes over to the rest of the headquarters. Okay.
I'm basing this on the schematic drawings that some that the 10 people have made. We want to put a valve. I'd actually like to put a valve here on the road, where it crosses the road, eventually. But we want to put one here, so we can isolate the headquarters area and drain this out, and only drain a couple hundred gallons out of the system when we have a repair to make down here. Okay. So we need to install two valves right here. Those two valves, we need one to shut this off. And then we want to run a new line, and this involves the new ranch headquarters house, or bunkhouse, or I don't care what term you use for it. But we want to put a valve here and install this now, because we're going to put this T in. We just want to do it all at once, okay? And then we'll be able to have this line isolate all the water that we need to put down to the other areas. And then we can just put it in and leave it, and then we can connect to it when we're ready to do all the water stuff. Okay, so here's the critical stuff that has to be fixed right away. Well, when we dig this thing up, we're going to put these valves in here. You know, we're talking $20 a valve. It's not expensive.
It's fine.
Yeah. It is fine. All right. I would like to also eventually put a valve right here so we can isolate just these and still have water to the corrals and this kind of stuff. Okay. But what we have right now, and we discovered the other day, and we ended up with a water leak inside the store. Once again, this valve leaked. I winterized all this, just like I had the previous winter, but this year the valve leaked. And so, let water back into the system, there's a combination of PEX and poly in there. PEX is the good stuff, poly's the bad. Anyway, the poly fittings popped, okay? And Larry and I fixed one of them, and then Larry, being Larry, discovered another broken one in the wall. So we want to get the comfort station and the shower done. We got to tear into the wall and fix the piping in the wall. Okay? And that's how we do it. So we need to put it, and I've already got the valve. That's already been bought. In fact, the valves to repair these have already been purchased. But we need to replace this valve here. While we were doing that, we discovered that we have some broken sprinkler pipe from the repair of last year. We gotta fix that. But we gotta fix this stuff inside here for the toilet and the shower and whatever to get that working. To me, right now, the most critical repair we have to make is right here, because the season is gonna start and there's already been people coming down there who would have liked to have showered and used this facility. Okay. Plus, we got a move going on here relatively quickly, Ole, Kenda, and the kids over to the ranch house, and they're going to use the existing store as a bunk room for the boys. Is that what the basic plan is?
Yep.
All right. So the store is going to move over to the old store location where it used to be.
Is there water in that at all, in the old store location? There's no water
over there. Okay. No water that I know of, anyway. Okay. There is gas, so we can run the fridge and all that stuff.
Right.
But the critical repair is right there. Okay? And that has to be done, and that needs to be done within the next couple of weeks. Okay? And expense-wise, $20-$25. Not expensive. In fact, I've got most of the stuff to do. I've got all the PEX. I've got all the PEX crimp rings. I've got the PEX tools. I've got all the fittings, which I will donate. Okay? Oh, by the way, the phone call for the Mark and Shelley unemployment issue cost me $120.
Get out of here.
It was a roaming charge because I had to make the call for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll cover that.
No.
So, and we lost. So.
They continually haunt us.
They're on my machine.
You do not even want to know what my...
I get calls you would not imagine.
They are in jail?
Okay. Neither are their friends.
Yeah. Here, the fire tank only. We have a fire tank that we have installed and it's sitting there, but it needs to be. We need to reposition it, backfill it, and plumb it. The fire tank is roughly 100 feet to the northeast of the existing 40,000 gallon tank. The fill line on the fire tank runs from the overflow of the 40K tank, so it won't backfeed. That was critical. it couldn't backfeed into the domestic water source. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does it have an air brake separation when it overflows and drops into the tank?
Well, there is, because there's holes in the top of the tank.
Okay.
And we'll be fine. And I've already discussed it with Chad Reeder from the health department. And the way we're going to do it is way inexpensive. Everything's already purchased. It's just going to take a little time. From there, we run a 2-inch line. There's a valve here. This is overflow. It's going to drop into the tank. We want to keep the tank full at all times. And right now, the overflow just runs to ground. So we're going to put this here. That's going to run down here to a standpipe, which we already have all the parts and pieces. It's just got to be put together. And that's right on Meadow Canyon Road. And we got a hole for it. We got a slot for it. And we have everything we need to do it, just the time to put it together. However, because of how dry it's been this winter, we're going to have a fire season. And I want to try to get this thing done by the 1st of May, at the very latest. And I want that tank done, tank filled by the 1st of May. So, all right. Okay, that's all the water issues for right now. Now I'm going to go into...
Should we also have a standpipe in the upper cabinet area, too?
Unfortunately,
for fire.
It's going to require a great deal of fixing and repair. What I want to do is, if you're not familiar with I've already talked to the King County Fire Warden about it. He likes the idea. And it's actually a better way to do it rather than do a whole bunch. And it's relatively inexpensive. We have 3 ponds up there.
I know you can do a dry standpipe on that pond, which would pull
that's
really
exactly
good.
Exactly what we're going to do. We're going to do a dry standpipe in probably pond one, and they'll be able to fill by just hooking into it and drafting out of there, fill the tank, and then come up the hill.
Yeah, okay. That's a good solution.
It's a less expensive solution for us. The King County Fire Warden likes it, and the BLM likes it. And I'll talk to you guys about that in a second. All right. We got some repairs that need to be done on Broad Hollow. Not a branch problem. The Broad Hollow people are going to take care of it. So I'm just telling you about it. If you drive over it, we are going to charge you,
however.
About where you drive.
Yeah, toll lane.
Anyway, we have a very bad culvert up here in Slide Canyon that needs repair. Luckily for us, Sandy Johnson bought a lot up there. He bought one of Larry Walter's old lot. And I went over there one day this winter, and he was in there burning slash. And so I stopped by and talked to him. He said, "Hey, would you care if I repaired that culvert in Slide Canyon?" And I spoke to the board, and he says, "Go for it." And so he's going to fix that when he has his back going here. No charge to us.
Okay. Great.
Well, that's going to work.
All right. This is Meadow Canyon. Meadow Canyon, we had little moisture this year, and people respected when the roads were wet, so we have very few repairs we got to make. We have some minor repairs along Meadow Canyon Road. Right along here. But one of the things we need to think about is the Browns Homestead Road. We, in order for us to maintain that as an access point, the BLM lets us run a blade over it once a year or something like that. We need to throw that into our consideration, is running a blade over the road. It's in real bad condition, but we don't need to keep it real great. We just need to run a blade over at least once a year. So
to maintain our right-of-way rights.
To maintain our right-of-way rights, yes. Okay, just so you know. All right. There's a pretty big repair needed right here. I'll take care of that. It's a... just got to fix the drainage so it'll go into the culvert and rather across the road. This is on the way over to Fred's and the Bosays. And I don't think it... I think it probably held it pretty good this year.
It's in good shape right now.
Yeah, because we didn't have a lot. But that... I'm going to dig a big ditch here and make it run, everything run into the culvert. The rest of the roads, there are minor problems here and there, but for the most part, they survived the winter very effectively. Okay? Now, I haven't, quite honest, went all the way over to Dirk, you know, by Dirk's and all that, but we've had some little moisture. I don't imagine anything's in too bad a condition. All right. Here's the to-do list.
Holy.
We need to start a new ranch house.
Yay.
So we're getting this. Get the truck from Ohio. Here's the status on the Ohio truck. We finally got arranged. I pay the deposit on getting it shipped here. Bob and I are each going to cover a portion of the cost to get the truck out here, and we're shipping the Moriarty Suburban at the same time. Just so you know, the Moriarty are selling us this truck for less than half of its Kelley Blue Book value. Okay? So, we're getting a heck of a deal on this vehicle, and it's worth paying for the shipping. I've already arranged to have the necessary repairs made based upon the trade for the old vehicle that blew the engine. And so we're in good shape that way. Hopefully, this thing is going to be picked up next week. Be delivered the following week and be functional, hopefully before mid-April.
Yeah, that truck is a 98 Chevy
K3500. Four-wheel drive dually, flathead with big toolbox.
And we're paying $4,000 for it.
And we're paying $4,000.
No, we paid $4,000. It's already done.
Yeah,
it's already done. Okay. And we have the title. Title is out of the headquarters. Okay. Okay, we need to start the vehicle. So that thing, we need to start water line and infrastructure repairs. We need to start new branch house. Did I mention that one? We need to get the board up to speed. That's what I'm doing right now. So I'm hoping everyone's paying attention.
Wait. Start new ranch house. What's number one?
Start new ranch house.
Start new ranch house.
And what's number four?
Start new ranch house.
Number seven?
You got the same report. I don't know where I got that one. All right, number six, get the membership up to speed and involved. The members need to be involved.
Absolutely.
Okay. Number seven, starting ranch up. Did I mention that one?
No.
Okay. Electroshock therapy for Oli.
I could use it right now.
Oli's an interesting character.
Sorry.
He's somewhere between preacher and pervert. Larry and I have spent way too much time with him.
So, I don't know where he goes.
Okay. We got to get prepared for that fire season, getting that tank in place. And I went over and I did on a fire truck from the Rockville Fire Protection District, Rockville Springdale Fire Protection District the other day, and I gave them a decent bid, and if we get it, it'll be really, really cool. So, I'm covering that cost.
Can I just mention one thing? That if anybody plans on building, as of January, there is now a fire land interstate, and you have to meet a lot of requirements, and we are in the zone where probably most of our lots will have to build with fire retardant material. So it's going to add to the cost. But just so everybody's aware, and if you want to do your own self-evaluation, I do have the checklist. It costs, I think, $225 to have the building inspector come up and check, and he will have to eventually. But at least you would know what you need to do to make it so your lot is buildable.
Is that retroactive on existing building?
No.
No, you're always grandfathered in on those things.
Right. Good.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm still on my list, but I was going to bring it up. But anyway, okay, prepare for fire season. April 5th, Ole and I are meeting with the King County Fire Warden, Earl Levanger, and the BLM guy, Kevin Cahill, and they're also thinking about bringing a couple other people. And so that's part of that. Then we have to have fire tank, or I want to get the fire tank full and functional by May 1st. Okay. I don't know how everyone feels about it. The roads are not in terrible condition, but it would be nice to get a grader on them and get at least the worst ones taken care of.
While there's moisture in the ground.
While there's moisture in the ground, it's the best time to take those speed bumps and all that other stuff out of there. And so we'll talk about it later, but we might have an on-site grader operator.
Oh.
So if we can convince him to do it, we will be saving ourselves at least $20 a day because we won't have to pay for somebody to come out.
Larry?
So, anyway.
Community wood plan?
Fire.
Community fire plan. What Lynette was talking about. We need, as part of this whole thing, is we need to have a community fire plan in place. That's another thing we've got to work on. If we have a community fire plan, and part of the community fire plan is the goats.
Yeah.
All right? The goats are a big part of the community fire plan. The other thing is, and what Lynette was talking about, fire-resistant material, and you've got to do the limb and trim thing. And you have to have so much clearance around the property. And so basically, I want to bring this up right now. If you have a lumberable tree and you want it cut out, hauled down, and turned into lumber, or if you want to just donate it to us, we'll come get it. Just let us know. And and quite honestly, I have taken it upon myself to clear cut many of your properties. You'll find out when you finally get up here. That sawmill is so cool.
You taking dead trees out?
We're taking dead trees out. We're taking a lot of dead trees out. I took down from my place 5 or 6 the other day, all lumberable. And I need some specialty boards that are 18 inches wide and 5 feet long, and I took some trees out.
What is lumberable? Tell them what size you're looking for.
Truly, if there's any, if on your lot you have trees that you'd like to be gone, we'll make firewood out of it. I mean, we would rather cut wood off of the ranch than go and, I buy permits at the beginning of the year. I bought a permit for posts and wood on the BLM just so that if we need to, we can go out there. But basically where pinyons and junipers grow, nothing else grows under them. And so to allow the sun to hit your dirt so a grass can grow, you have to take trees out. So if those of you who are interested on your lots in opening it up, I mean, it's not like there's any, there's plenty of pinyons and junipers on the monument to look at. And so most people would like some space on their property that they can look around, you know. So if you want a tree gone, just drop down and give me your lot number. And if you want to flag them, you can flag the tree, or you can just say, take these out. But we would rather help you at the same time we're cutting trees than just go on the monument. So if you have trees that you want removed, let us know. We'll take them out.
A lot of members have been concerned about, you know, they don't want anybody to touch any tree, or we're borderline environmentalists. Man, I didn't say that out loud. But no, we're concerned about our trees. But if you look at somebody's lot who's gone in, Larry Murphy, is he still there?
Yeah,
back there. He's done a great job on his lot to get rid of the junk, and his lot's a beautiful place. Not that it wasn't before, but now with getting rid of.
Well, Annette Robinson's done a great job on my place too. She's cleared out about 200 feet in all directions, but not all the trees, just all the underbrush and all the undergrowth.
The limb and trim thing is a big deal. And basically what you try to do is keep the fire from moving underneath and then moving into the canopy. And keep the fire from moving underneath. It's not going to move into the canopy. So basically, it's got to be thought of. If you've got trees you want taken out and they're lumberable, or even if they're not, we can make firewood out of them.
Oh, there may be a cedar post in it for a fence. There may be firewood in it. There may be a lumber in it. If you have a tree, let us know, and then, you know, we may not rush right up because we've got lots of trees that people want already out, but it certainly doesn't hurt to let us know.
Well, let's put this in a paragraph or two and put it on the website and put it on the information page, and then, you know, first come, first serve.
Yeah, we don't want to get in the limb and trim business.
No, but to let people know what it takes. Like, I didn't know about what you just said, a fire moving underneath the tree and then moving up into the canopy.
That's the whole reason for the goat search. They take the crud that started the fire and keeps it out of the trees, then the trees are safe.
Well, and that I didn't know. I mean, I figured they were eating the little stuff, but I'm thinking most members don't realize that, and if that's a situation that they can take care of their own lot even. I mean, I want to use the lumber off of my lot for my own use. I don't want you guys to come in and take it someplace else.
Well,
so
come on.
I know it's easy to get it, too. But anyway, you know, so we'll take care of that. But if I know now what to take care of or what to do to protect my lot and the rest of the ranch, then we can take care of it ourselves just because the information is there. That's why I say we should move it.
And if you want to get some your lumber milled, it can be done at the mill, and that money will go back into paying off the mill, which then become the ranches.
Right.
Something that also should be mentioned there is if you come up with big slash piles after you've done all your limbing and trimming, that's the down by the gravel pit. We have those piles which we can burn as a ranch, but we don't want people burning large slash piles on their own property.
Sure.
You know,
if they do, they've got to do it in a very controlled fashion. And so most members who do burn know very well how to do it, and I've never, you know, we haven't had a problem yet. But that's a good idea. Let's get it out so people know. Part of this thing is the community weed plan now. Only had the state weed guy come out the other day, and he wanted to charge us. We have thistle problem along Meadow Canyon and other roads. The guy wanted to come out and charge us $100 a day to go around on his ATV and spray them. So Ole said, we have a community weed plant. He said, what is it? And Ole pointed to the goats.
Well, what's happened is the state's cracking down, and they're making it mandatory. It's not an option. They come out and spray them, then they charge you $100 a day, and there's nothing you can do about it. And it's not exactly taxation without representation, because they are spraying your weeds, but it is a kind of mafia, you know. You're going to pay for our service. And so he said, the only way to get off the list is to have a plan already in place. And when I showed him the goat herd, which is dueling is our fire and our weed program, he says, that's enough. He says, that's probably better than most of what we see, so we got taken off the list. So now we just hope the little rascals lead them.
Okay, now, all right. I'm the last person on Deer Springs Ranch that's going to ever praise the Ole Man.
Okay? The Ole Man.
You have to know that he's saving us a lot of money. Those goats are saving us a lot of money. Okay? In both respects, both fire and the weed control.
And
all
right, that's... Look at it for manure.
Well, you know, that's really something that nobody ever looks at. I was talking to Brent the other day. Nothing. If you run a brush hog over an area, you get a bazillion little sagebrush that come up from the root, and eventually you end up with a lawn of sagebrush that just doesn't grow very high, but it still won't grow grass. If you limb and trim, you make ash, which in our type of soil actually makes the soil less productive. There is nothing that will take the crud and turn it into something good like the goat. They put down the thing that all desert environments lack the most, and that's biological matter in the soil. So the byword in Nevada, the BLM tell me, is where the goats go, the grass follows. They said the goats promote grass faster than anything. In fact, many areas they require the cattle to rest, and they put goats there to bring the grass back so they can put the cattle back.
Well,
so the ranch should be greener post-goat than it was before.
Tell them the formula. I wrote it to you yesterday. Goats into?
Oh, yeah, I saw that on
you. You guys, you other guys, Dustin, Dirk, and John, you guys will get some advantage to my emails to the board.
In fact, your list on there is different
just
from your list that you
sent.
That list is different from this.
Well, it is. That list that I sent you is, I mean, I'm just adding to it.
Okay.
There's a million things.
No.
All right.
Send us that, would you?
I can.
By email?
All right. We need solutions. We don't need complaints. Fire listen to whiners. Service to the next infrastructure cost money. Less services equal less expense. We can either, that's one way to look at it. More services equal more expense. More services with less expense means membership involvement. Bring your tool belt, bring your hammer, bring your shovel, bring your gloves, and bring a pair of boots.
A chainsaw.
And a tree, if you want. We'll turn it into lumber. That lumber stuff. When you come out there for your vacation, spend at least one full day working for a ranch project.
Yes.
And if you want to complain, provide a solution. So, anyway, that concludes my presentation.
Yay.
I will certainly go.
Rebuttal?
Yeah, rebuttal. Oh, yeah, like there could be.
We're so glad you're humble,
Brent.
Can we make a point of finding somebody to make that paragraph about fire information?
For your information, Brent has been elected by a not so official election as the ranch sheriff. And emergency service personnel. That includes police department, fire department, and any emergency department. Just don't go to his house after hours unless you're in the mood for nakedness.
Dude.
I told everyone only about 117 in a close free zone.
All right. These are things that just need to come before, and I'm going to go pretty rapidly through them. The Duval Road, the road that goes currently across the flat, beginning close to Jerry Racine's Road to Lot 160, has been utilized in the past, has never been adopted as an official ranch road. The question is, if you adopt it as official ranch road, you will be responsible as a ranch to maintain it. You can approach it three different ways. You can say, use it the way it is. We won't adopt it as an official ranch road, but you may use it on ranch property and put that in the minutes, and then they'll be responsible to maintain it themselves. Or you can adopt it as a ranch road if you feel like it serves enough purpose, and then you need to gravel it and take care of it, or at least maintain it. Third option is no, make your own road in between property lines, like it states in our bylaws, all property lines yield a 30-foot egress. And so, what do you want to do?
Where's this road again?
This is a road, there's a little map.
Oh.
You know the road, when you first enter the ranch and you take a left to go to Jerry or
yeah.
Betty's
okay.
place?
Yeah.
Mike, this lot, 160, and what is Sheridge, 159?
Right, which is landlocked, by the way. Without that road, they can't get in there.
Yeah.
They could come through here. It would, they would have to agree on the cost.
Years ago, they had accessed Judy's lot by going up the Tom Massengale Road through Hoyt's, and that had caused some aggravation. Jerry, go ahead.
Last Saturday, they got together. Duvall's and Aaron and Anthony got together.
That's the Sheridge.
Yes. They got together, and they're going to gravel that road, the three of the two lot owners are going to gravel that road and maintain it. So I think you can really take it off your list as far as I know.
We just need to give them some assurance because they're a little concerned. This was never a ranch road, and it does cross association property. So Duvall's are a new owner, and they're wanting to come in and say, hey, we don't want to cause problems. We don't want to do something that you come back to us later and throw a fit about. Years ago, because of the aggravation with going up through Hoyt's, and they didn't like people cutting across their lot, getting back into Sherrod's and the previous owner of this Duvall lot. Some of you may remember, God, what is his name over in the Podunk?
John Pardo?
No?
Steve?
No, Larry, who's your buddy over there?
Lee Beller?
Lee. Lee was on the board at the time, and he actually had John Pardo, I think, grade this road initially.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which I don't think anybody, I mean, does anybody have any heartburn over that?
Which road is that?
It's a private driveway to these two lots,
okay.
More or less.
It just cuts across the edge of
it goes
crazy
about
land
1,560 feet along that line, but it's not, the issue is it's not on the thing that Taylor Button, I believe, had the issue with, is it's not on the property boundary line. It cuts across association ground. All they really need is something in the minutes from the board that says we don't care if you cut across there.
We have given permission to different individuals over time. The Acres, is that the right name, Brent?
Acres, yes.
Is one example. A year or two ago, their lot was several hundred feet off of the ranch road, and they had to cross association property to put in the driveway they wanted to put in and actively use. They came and asked permission. We gave it to them. Everything's fine, and probably none of you even know about it or care about it. I think this is a similar situation.
I would make a motion that they be allowed to use that road as it exists.
And this road was cut in a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And what are they talking now? I missed it.
They would just like something official. There was a little bit of controversy when that happened.
Before they gravel it and everything. I think that I don't know how to word this, but if they want to go ahead and gravel that, then I think that we could take that on as one of our maintenance roads after the road's established.
I got mad when they cut this road.
Because that takes care of the majority of the costs on it. So how would we say that?
My opinion is that it's a private road used by Duvall's and Sheridan's.
So they should maintain it.
It goes nowhere else. It's a driveway.
I think that's
reasonable. There's lots of roads that do that, too, though. I think after it's put in, though, that we should maintain it because it is a common road.
Maintenance
being
when you run the grader over
it. Sure. Yeah.
Well,
that's what I'm thinking.
Johansons don't own this number, 160?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're just up above here. Another
right here.
So you don't take that road, huh?
I do this. No, I think this road.
And maintain it, that's fine. But I don't think the ranch should have to cost to maintain it.
And they're not asking for that. They are saying they will.
I think you just say, okay,
that's
fine.
Probably the best way to go. Just give them.
Go ahead and grab it.
Yeah.
Well, we should grant them the
access to improve it, use it, and maintain it.
And that the ranch will, you know, on our normal
there's nothing.
Grading of roads.
There's not much on this. This road is pretty good.
Yeah, until it gets wet. Yeah. They need some gravel.
Martin, John, sorry. That's before us, right?
Yeah.
That's on that road that cuts across the...
You wouldn't even
we're further up,
really, unless you were looking for it.
Yeah, I know where it is. It just
all of a sudden, that road once...
Because the former lot owners have been pretty inactive, and because the sheriffs have been as well, it's got stuff growing on it.
Right.
So you wouldn't notice it unless you were looking for it, but...
Okay, I would make a motion that we make note in the minutes, just something official for them, that we are granting the Duvalls and the Sherrods, lot 160 and 159, our blessing, our approval to go ahead and we acknowledge that they are crossing association property. I mean, it's every lot has a 30-foot easement around it, which doesn't mean everybody can just go carving 30-foot roads everywhere they want, but this is a perfect example that if somebody has a request, come to the board, let's discuss it, see if it interferes or causes a problem, but make a motion that we give them approval to go ahead and improve that road and gravel it for their access. I think that's the good enough motion.
That's before that road, Judy.
Started
a road before that.
Yeah.
On Massengill's side.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to notify them.
Isn't there one of
because they want to have a reunion in the first week of April.
Yeah, that's why they asked Ori and myself both to bring it here so they could do something immediately if they can find somebody to do the work and haul the gravel. That's the next
thing.
Worry about the horse trailers getting stuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, unanimous decision to grant the Duvalls and Sherrods permission to move forward with that.
Next item.
Can I do an addendum on that? The Duvalls want to stay at the ranch in the cabins. We have three requests and that there's not enough room, and it's a matter of opening up cabins, and that would be something of...
We need to have an official date.
It's in May.
The cabins. That's what I had to thought. It's the 1st of May?
Yeah. 1st of May, we open up the lower cabins.
What I'm going to do with that is members who want to come and stay in a cabin that isn't opened up, who want it to use it as a shelter, with a dry cabin, without water, I'm going to give them the ability to do that and not charge them.
Without bathrooms.
What do you think about that? Bathrooms will have the comfort station open as soon as we get those things fixed, and they can come down and use those. So
that would have to be a board decision. I just need to know because I do the reservations, but like for instance, the Bears are going to be using 6, 7, and 8. That's already on record. That's there. The Duvalls want to come in, and also the Harrises would like to come in. And so we need to decide how we're going to do this. The Duvalls originally were talking about 10, and they both contacted me at the same time about not using 10.
Our only trouble is 9 and 10 are basically still cabins. The wind
right.
blows under them.
Oh, I know.
And if we have a cold snap and they're open, it could be really
exactly.
So we'll have to stick with our May 1st opening date on the cabins aside from 7 and 8. We've kept them open throughout the winter and
yes.
people have used them. I think we should give them the ability to, if they want to come and stay in a cabin that isn't open, and their members, you know, it doesn't hurt a thing if they bring their own bedding and they just use the beds and use the shelter and they can come to the comfort station for the restroom.
The
board's agreeable.
Yeah, it needs to be a board decision on that.
The toilets would function simply by having a 5-gallon bucket of water.
Yeah, but you've got a loop in there that'll hold water.
The Norwoodie staff, somebody backed over it. And so there's no, it looks like that to the ground level. I don't know if it functions. I didn't turn it on.
It still functions. It's just somebody backed over it.
So if they can use that as the water, that'll be fine.
The toilets, just because of the toilet itself shouldn't freeze inside of it.
No, not
inside. You've got to have some pretty severe temperatures.
Well, the other thing they need to bring with them if they're going to do a dry cabin thing, they can bring a 5-gallon bucket of water and flush that thing, but they're going to need
to bring a gallon of RV antifreeze.
To put in it after they're done.
Because the drain has trapped. If that water does freeze in that toilet and the toilet breaks, then we got an expense. So
the other expense is gas for the lights and things like that. I mean, there is some expense in using
what
gas
would,
lights.
What would then settle on a dry cabin fee that covers
I think that's appropriate. But the other problem is that we will not have room for the Harrises, the Duvalls, and the Bears, and the Bears are already there.
The Bears are set in 6,
yes.
7, and 8?
Yes. Yep. And there was some talk about using the ranch house that weekend also. I don't know if that's available. So I just need to know because I make the reservations.
Well, we're also considering moving from there so the Bears can have the garden cabin, moving over to the ranch house.
Before the 1st of April?
Like in the next few days so that they can have, that's been their customary cabin. I'd like them to be able to have that. So if we do that, we can, if we move to the ranch house, that would make that.
That's fine. I have no problem with any of it. I just need to know because I'm the one that's going
to move. You have to move out.
I know, and I appreciate that, but since it's got to happen in the next little while anyway, I've got to talk to Larry and Kenda. Because those are the two people who...
Yeah. And we have to get the comfort station fixed before then.
Comfort station fixed before
you make a move.
Yeah. Because you can have your kids in there.
Oh, yeah, but we'll be fine. I mean, we've got a bathroom in the main house. Our kids can... Yeah, I mean, that isn't such a big thing. That's got to be fixed quite quickly soon. But I don't know. I know the move has to be made, and we've got a week. It's the 24th. We've got a whole week. I know it's a week, but I'll have to speak to the people involved. If that happened, though, that would make the garden cabin available, and it would create another vacancy on the hill.
Yes. If that works, then we can do that. But it's up to you.
We prefer the garden cabin, but we didn't...
Yeah, I know. I know you were being kind, and I don't want you to have to be kind if we can make it so if you don't have to.
You don't want me to go out of character.
Does the garden cabin suffice? I mean, that takes care of your entire group?
No. But it's what they've had for, 10 years? But so the grandkids think it's better.
Yeah.
We've all, the last couple of years, we've used two other little cabins, and I'll check, but we might be able to get by with, if the garden cabin's available, we might be able to get by with just one of
these. That sleeps 22.
I know it.
Huh. So,
did you make this?
No.
So,
Barbara,
that might work. We just only use one of the other cabins up on the hill, and with the garden cabin, that would sleep two of those.
I'll tell you what, today I'll have the conversation with Larry and Kenda, and if they want to do it, we'll do it. If not, we'll just go as planned.
As planned, but that's still, I need to know for the Harrises and the Duvall.
Yeah, I'll talk to the Duvall about that, too. Okay. I need to find out what they're... See, they have a self-contained unit in that horse trailer. They don't really need it, but they wanted it.
So. I have their email here. About that, so if we,
why don't I do this? I have ranch house, garden cabin 6, 7, and 8, issue Ole, Larry Bear, Linda to resolve.
We'll just,
go on. I think that's good. The thing we want to avoid is there is an expense, as you can see, in having people come in early or opening things, and we can't have 300 members. Just a free for all of, well, we'll make it work, we'll make this work, because then people start getting upset at, well, you're pulling a favor for this guy and not for this guy and this guy. So
we don't want to display solely too much either.
Yeah, he's got an issue with Kenda trying to get her comfortable.
Yeah.
So
let's
not. That's why the ranch house was mentioned however many times on the flip chart. If there isn't a place for her to live by next winter,
we're in big trouble.
All my best intentions are a thing of naught.
Okay.
For that reason, and what we're trying to accomplish, I would rather, as much as I love all of you, I'd rather displace or discomfort a few members on occasion and make sure our manager gets taken care of.
Yes.
If that isn't workable on there, I just can't get my fifth wheel up to my property yet.
but I could pull it in down below and park it, but I'm not.
You're more than welcome to do that.
That's not a problem at all.
Okay. Well,
okay.
In fact, we can ultimately find that dump station with a little more digging.
Now, we know where to look.
Yeah, we know where to look.
We need a machine.
If we can find that, that'll give you a sewage, power, hookup, everything. We can pull right up alongside of that, and we'll make it so that an RV can get in.
So then for the board, what I need to know are for reservations is I need to know definitely are, you know, how we're going to work that, if we're going to have a dry camp, if we're going to do, you know, how we're going to do that. I just need to know so I can tell people what's going on. I need to know from you.
They can plan. You know, they know that May 1st is the opening of the season.
Well, and that's what I have on the reservation chart.
I think we should leave it the way it is.
The dry cabin could just end up
with too many issues. It
would be unexpected. You know, we may have issues with those cabins, and we don't know it yet.
And we don't even know. We haven't fired them up.
I know. So I'd say just stick with what our
regular plan is.
So 7 and 8 are open to be used if needed.
Yes.
When they are available, but no more.
And 6 can be open because it's skirted, and I don't think it'll be a problem.
Okay.
But 9 and 10, because they are open to the wind and the cold.
Yeah, I understand that.
They are the problem.
Right.
Kind of summertime cabin.
I agree. I just needed a final word on it. I need also, for reservations, I need to know what you charge for horseback ride. Can you?
Well,
I need to know
that. The internet says one price and one thing says
I hate to start the season off with an exception, but that newlywed couple that came in, I gave them a horse ride for on the ranch for free. They wanted to go, and they were newlywed kids, and we took them on.
That was a wedding present.
We were going to charge $15.
Yeah. The going members. Rate at any of the parks is $35 or something an hour. We charge less than half of the going rate, so they shouldn't buy. It's $15 an hour for members, and then it's three-quarters of the going rate for people who are not members that come with them if they'd like, and then it's regular price for people who are just off the street who want to go.
So it's 20 if they are not members?
15, 20, and 30.
What's the 20 for again? What's the 20?
20 is for some, say you're a member and you bring somebody.
Yes. That yes. Okay. That
they aren't members, but they're friends of yours. We give them a break because they're friends of yours.
And off the street?
It is $30 an hour. Just
only
back.
If Larry gets married to Valerie, will you give him a free horse ride?
I will not only give him a free horse ride, I'll provide the honeymoon stallion.
Wow.
What a deal!
How much advance notice do they need to have?
At least a week, you know, because I have people coming. We've done a lot of rides there so far already. We had the Silverado bunch come in. We had 15 riders going out for 2 days.
Okay.
Which made us $3,000, by the way.
Wow. And so you're handling all of the horse costs and everything. If they want to pay for a horseback ride, they should come see you.
They need to call my cell phone number.
Yes.
And just leave it on the message. Yeah. Says I'd like to ride on this
I'm
day.
I'm talking about the money part of it.
Money part, what I do, our deal is I take in all the money till it covers the cost of the keeping of the horses for the year. And so
can you work that through a special account? Can we open
what I've got it so far, we just had a couple, it's just on a book. We're going to have an account that manages the horse thing so that at some point the horses become free to, I mean, it doesn't cost the ranch. Up till now, the ranch has subsidized all the horse riding for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And so what we're trying to do is I'm donating my outfitting business to the cost of the horses, the feed, fencing, vet, all that stuff. Once that cost is taken care of, the money that is left over comes to me, or is at my discretion. Will probably get poured back into saddles and mm-hmm. and the horse program, but that provides the horses to the membership at no cost to the ranch.
Okay, so if somebody wants to send me a reservation fee and pay for the reservation, then I should tell them to hold off on sending me money for a horseback ride.
They can
ride,
send it to you. What we'd like to do is set up an account so you can put the money in the account, I can put the money in the account, and that there's an accounting for it, so then at the end of the year I can go to Ken and say, this is what we took in, this is what we spent,
this is where we're at.
Do you want to handle that, Ben, or do you
well,
and I?
Should probably be dealing with the same reservation process.
Yeah, that's something you'd handle. I would, that's about you know,
because
I just wanted something
now,
separate so that it can be looked at and can be audited.
Yeah, that's just the back end.
We need to see it anyway to see how well it works.
Okay.
So far, I mean, we're doing
that way. You can subtract out of that account all the expenses that you put out,
right?
And then we can see the income and the outgo, and we can see where it's at the end of the year.
But up until now, I've not seen any money at all from Horseback Rides or anything like that.
Well, most often they won't, because they're gonna come out to me, mm-hmm. and if I had a place to go with
them.
But you
can make
keep
up
a book
books,
on it.
You need to keep a book and report it to her, I would think, and then
that's
the way she's keeping track of it.
Well, and I can just do it in my manager's report, too.
Yeah.
Maybe quarterly.
Yeah.
So this is what we're
but I think we need to open up a separate bank account or something like that just to run that money through,
well,
just so we have a trail.
Connection with the account we already have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever works, I'd be happy to have a place.
Are you going to set up a bank account?
I don't know. Am I going to do it?
Yes, you would set it up.
We should.
Just like you did with the house.
I need money to open it.
What we need is a...
Okay.
We just need to be able to have a cash flow trail.
Actually, we should take the money, the $9,000 that was allotted for feed this year, and put that in the account.
Is that what you want me to do?
Because then we...
That needs to be done by motion.
Okay. I also move.
I second it.
$9,000.
It's on the budget for that account.
Yeah.
And then Ollie feeds money into that account for the collection of horseback rides.
Take
money out of that account
to
pay for the expenses that he's got. And you're going to have to do some of that in retrospect because some of it's already been done.
Right.
Yeah, just
right.
You need
to make some kind of a paper trail on
that so that we have it.
Well, what I have that has been spent from the budget, I have in my files already that has been spent on feed and things like
then
that.
Then you remember.
Right.
And so,
now,
I would,
that doesn't include like the bunny feed and the cat feed and all that.
That all came out of the budget.
Okay. Then you separate those then on the receipts.
Just horses.
So forth. Yeah, because the horses
horse fund.
Operate independently. The petting zoo is kind of.
Anything we put out for the houses,
the
horses already,
in the bottom, right?
Then we don't deposit that. But we make it a record of it.
Right.
No,
I agree. Okay. Making sure I understood that.
Okay.
I don't know. We ready to move on to the next?
I would bring that up.
Okay.
After his
issue is Robinson lease is up.
No, I'm saying no lease.
Can I interrupt just a minute? I have to leave for August. And
I can't hear her.
That getting a home for the branch manager is critical. And I know that several things have been suggested. I would challenge everybody that can donate any money to the fund. I think we need an estimate. Here's my $200 for each of my lots. And so here's $400 to add to the kitty. And I'm willing to give another $200 to each of my lot as soon as you're ready to start building. And so I will challenge everybody to do the same.
Excellent.
Because
Thank you.
We need to make sure that our managers are comfortable. I think finally we have someone that cares about the ranch. And
Oh, and before you go, thanks, Lynette. It's not just a house for the manager. It's going to be a great thing for the members. A place to meet, a place to hold our annual meeting at the ranch, not out on the lawn in the wind and the rain or whatever happens to come about. A place for family reunions, to have a dance or a dinner or whatever. And thank you.
Well, Lynette, I know it's an asset to the ranch, but it's also an I appreciate that.
And
anything to move this cause.
I'm putting my pins in the Lynette doll now.
Well, I think we need to all start working together and quit kicking each other in the shin.
Excellent. Thank you.
And the original suggested amount for each member was
$400. Yeah, $400 is what we think.
That'd give us $100,000.
I'm going to leave here. You said something about a backhoe. Is there, what's the uranus on the backhoe?
Lee Beller has a backhoe.
Okay.
$50 an hour.
Okay.
And you can talk to Lee. Schedule what you need done, and you can do that.
We also had something about, I remember last year, the Kubota was available for use.
Yeah.
It still is. It's still okay. $50 an hour.
$50 an hour.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to
put some money in.
The goats, would they eat sagebrush?
Yeah,
that's what they eat.
Okay. Yeah, we need to do it down by your area.
Yeah.
We got all that thistle and everything down there.
Right.
Have you turned them loose on our side?
So, would it be okay to dismantle some of those homes and pull them out with a one-ton and burn what's burnable in small burnings?
Yeah, you got a big area
that
we can probably clear enough that we could burn those, and then we could then use the backhoe to bury.
Damaged, weather damaged.
Yeah, yeah.
The most important thing when you burn is having water standing by. See, the trouble is that there's lots that are dry lots that want to burn, and they have no way if there was a problem.
We have a spring. We're tapping into the spring.
Yeah.
If you've got even a garden hose, just to walk around and keep it.
Right there, we have water.
Okay.
And so that's what we do when we burn. You have the hose. Water there.
Yeah.
Clear areas.
Are you going back up there?
Not today. No.
Okay. I'll see Lee. I'll talk to him about it and maybe have him get a call you guys up. And we'll work something out on that.
Yeah, well, we got a lot going on up there. Yeah, so we get fenced off, maybe get some roads. But we got to work on getting the road fixed. Roads pretty hammered.
What lot number is that?
It's 11.
Very special spot.
Well, I'll work with you, and then maybe we can make it a code-up kind of thing where we all kind of help on that. Because we all want to kind of clear that out.
Yeah, okay, and there's also a trench that came through there in the front. And I guess I can go ahead and put a pipe in that, obviously. I guess that's for water. It's been put in
for drainage. Wash.
So getting in is kind of a chore to get in.
I know what you mean. I'll talk to Lee.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yours is up there too. Yours is up there.
Yeah. Thanks. The Robinson lease comes up next year. It was signed in 2001 or 1991 for 7 years. So April 1st, I believe, of next year, it's up. I was told when I came to the ranch that the ranch is interested now that we have the ability to run our own ranch to increase our cattle numbers. We'll make more money using our grass than selling it. And so probably towards the fall we need to talk more about cattle. This year, this is the final summer for them, and so
have you talked to them at all? Do you have an idea what their
intention?
What are they?
Are they selling their house, their place?
They're selling parts of them. I don't think they're selling their place, but I spoke to Grant yesterday or the day before on a number of matters, and he's agreed to run in tandem with the goats this year because I guess he's already read books on the fact that they're quite compatible. And we're going to have a herder on him, and so we're going to try and stay out of the flat land where his cows are grazing, and the cows already naturally stay out of the hills, so it should work good anyway. But I said, let's just play it by ear, and we'll have a herder to protect where he goes. But and then next year, of course, we'll all be under our own management, so that won't be a problem.
Okay.
BLM trail leases, I just got the letter today from her. I was glad that was. They've awarded me all of the trails that run off of the ranch.
Oh, excellent.
I'm the only permitted guide now on any of those drainages to the Perea, so I hope the members use them, because we've been given the right to take our members anywhere we want on the monument. As of today, I have to fill out some more paperwork with them, but that's really going to be fun for those that like to ride into that really neat-looking desert country.
I'll help you with the paperwork when
we fill that out. Okay. Does that include lick wash?
Lick wash, yes. We have lick wash, and I got triple use. We can do burrow trips, backpacking trips, and horseback riding trips. So anything you want to do, we can do in this.
Is there anything with ATV on those trails?
ATVs, they don't award permits for the monument.
No.
But you have to... The ATV roads are designated, and the agreement we made with the BLM is we would enforce the same rules on the ranch as they do off of the ranch with regard to ATVs, and then they don't impose anything on our people. So, and we already have that at a ranch. You know, there's 100 miles of road on the ranch from Creekson to cross country to Sunday's Loft. Anyway, and we need to, this year we talked about, I am the sheriff, talked about imposing a fine because we've had people on motorcycles just tearing things up. And we don't need to mention names just now, but in the future, if they do that and we tell them and then they just keep doing it right in our face, we're just going to have to fine them. And that'll go on there with their dues, and it has to be paid current before their vote's any good. And I hope it's not a problem, but we told them and they just said, well, thanks, and then just did it again.
We never had that problem before. It's been growing.
I think that dovetails into something that I've been bringing up with our previous president a couple times, that we need to know if we see people on at the ranch, are they members or are they not members?
Last board meeting we talked about issuing the membership with their dues a card.
There's
a laminated card.
There's, well, and I think it's going to be easier than that because you get in a confrontation situation where if you go up to somebody and ask them, it's a lot easier to have something on their vehicle and a hang tag. So you could do a decal just like Tejon Ranch does in California. And
they have those permits.
And you can do
right on the windshield.
We can just say, you know, I've looked it up on the internet. You can have them custom done. And it's like a dollar, less than a dollar a sticker, and hang tags are like $2.50.
Good idea.
And so what we can do is just allow members to purchase the one, appropriate ones that they need. They'll have their lot number on it and Deer Springs Ranch on it, and then they'll have ones for enough for them and maybe one for a guest for them, and then anything else, like say if we have guests that are not part of the ranch, ranch members, we have a bunch of hang tags for Ole to pass out, and they sign them in and sign them out. And so there shouldn't be any vehicles on the ranch that don't have a sticker, and so you'll know right away. Because if you get to a point where somebody has a card in the wallet, you got a confrontation problem there, and a lot of people would feel very uncomfortable having to go and approach somebody and say, hey, do you have your card? You know what I mean?
But you're going to be have confrontation with
you
them
don't
anyway
have to.
When they don't have a tag. What are you going to do to them?
You tell Ole. Tell the sheriff. We've got to do something, right?
And then Brent approaches them with a six track.
I mean, there's got to be something there because otherwise we will continue to have.
We also need to make some more reference on our road signs.
Definitely.
Like the guy went up there the other day, the weed guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he may be from the state, but he drove all the way up all over the private property without checking with me. And then came and informed us of our weed program.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything to him, but I says, you know, he felt awfully free to traipse around the ranch deciding what our weed program was without, those are private roads.
We should, have signage that says if you want to go to the ranch, you've got to check in with the ranch manager.
Fred Searle has talked about the green and red posts for roads that are private and non, which would be the members would know about, but some guys driving down Skidamaw Road would.
If you do a sign, do a sign at the beginning of the ranch.
It says members only, private.
I thought we had that.
We do have a sign that says it's a private road.
We have some, and
but
some.
We tell people that they drive at their own risk, basically, and that they may be held responsible. And
there has also been some. I pulled up on the just goofing around on the internet last week and punched in Deer Springs Ranch, and one of the things that came up was the little blurb in the newspaper from the county, where the lady here in town, Carol Penny, had said, Deer Springs Ranch gets a great benefit or something when the county was talking about the road.
It's a heck of a deal.
The Meadow Canyon Road.
Deer Springs Ranch. Well,
and it never happens.
Stranger that appears that, okay, it's over.
Public.
They don't bother to read what really was said or what the outcome was, but hey,
right.
Well,
free going.
The reason I brought that up also is last Saturday I was riding up top of Meadow Canyon and two vehicles pulled up and were really upset that I was parked near the gate and they weren't members. And they had their motorcycles.
Oh,
Cool. And they were going, the gate's not locked, you know. And I said, well, the road you just came up is a private road. And they said, well, it doesn't say so. And I said, I believe it says on the road when you turn off. And I checked again. It does say that it's a private road, but it doesn't say members only. And mm-hmm. so they're like, what, it's a private road?
I agree with the comment back here. Somebody said it's not. I mean, it almost needs to be like private road, members only, no trespassing.
Yeah,
and well, that's Meadow Canyon Road, but we never meant to have private road and members only.
You don't need to because you can't get to Meadow Canyon Road until you pass that little inlet.
Right. You need it in the entrance.
Right. You know, if you put it on right by the airstrip, that protects the Crawford Road, it protects the Meadow Canyon, it protects all those roads.
Yeah, but we don't.
Yeah.
We aren't really trying to close the trail going over the top. So if we put it at the top or we put it at the bottom, we're saying that you can't use Meadow Canyon Road. That's one we never meant to close to anyone but members. Oh, it's the side roads that we were really concerned about.
And that would be a lot more signs.
Yeah. Well,
and so we'd have to post each side road off of Meadow Canyon Road, or else we got to close Meadow Canyon Road.
Actually, Meadow
all the traffic
Canyon
goes up over the top.
Yeah, Meadow Canyon is a private road.
It is a private road, and we want to keep it a private road. But we wouldn't want to say members only on it because there's a lot of traffic that goes over the top of the mountain.
The only way we can keep it as a private road is to
close it. No, we lock it once a year.
Well, here's the problem, though. Going up Meadow Canyon Road wouldn't be such a problem, but what happens is if they go up it, they believe they can come down it. And if they come down it and the gate's locked, they have been locked, they have invested
a lot of miles,
and they're downhill. They have to turn around and go back up that nasty road, and everybody...
Traditionally, we've only locked Meadow Canyon at the Forest Service once a year.
So you don't have a problem. Well, that makes it easy. If you don't care who travels on the road...
On Meadow Canyon, well, we don't want them riding everything else. See, that's the end of the Great Western Trail at the top of Meadow Canyon.
Right.
A lot of people come down over the top expecting to go through, and they've done that for years. And one of the big fights that we've had with the Forest Service and everyone else is the fact that they think that without that going public, that we're going to close that road off to everybody. Okay? If we do close that road off, then we'll get a lot of ammunition against the ranch. What we don't want is people wandering all over the ranch. We don't want them wandering into the pools, into the cabins, into the side roads, into the private land. This is a straight run through, but it's still a private road. Okay? It just means that they have to be aware of that, but we don't want them on any of the side roads. So if we go to do that, then the way it originally was proposed by the county is that we would basically post every side road that came off.
We're kind of in between wanting to allow the public to go over the road, but not wanting them to be able
to have full access to the ranch.
That's
And then that's going to require signage on every side road, I would think, if we're going to do
that. They do, but if we close that main road through there, there's going to be a tremendous amount of political pressure against the ranch.
Well,
to keep it open.
The signs are different. Right. The ranch, unless you know where you want to go, it's really confusing.
People don't know what's private. Well, that turn right there, there's a tree in the right. And you committed yourself before you even read the sign.
Right. Well, you committed yourself when you come down off the top.
I think we're really...
I'm talking about turning at the airstrip.
Yeah.
The same thing. And the sign here, you turn and go on, and you're like, what did that sign say as you go by it? Because a lot of times...
We do need to do more signage, I think. And I think... And what happened to all the new signs for the lot signs?
Got them in the storehouse.
There's the lot signs. I mean, for the roads.
And then also, when are we going to name all the roads and put up signs for all the roads?
Half those are done, right?
No,
where is that?
Ours are up. The numbers or the...
The road
we
road
had
signs.
Names.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to
okay.
put on roads.
Let me clear that up. I got started on that project, okay? And we got donated a lot of MDX. MDX is an outside material, and I had all the signs routed out and numbered up. And I went and used the same material that we've been using on the ranch programs. However, there was incompatibility with the primer that I put on them and the paint, and so the paint was not drying. Every time I'd go to put the signs together, they'd stick together. I worked with that for, I must have 100 hours in those signs trying to get that to work out. And so Joe was, I did half of them, and they're in the shop, okay? They're ready to be put up. And these are the ones that I fought through. There's another half that are just primered that need to be finished up. In other words, the side, inside of the letters need to be painted, and then the outside need to be coated with the brown paint.
And Joe had a way to do that, Joe Bose. And he's just never been able to get up here at a time to haul them away. If somebody can get them down to him, he can get them done by the sign shop at the Luxor. He'll get those finished.
Where are they now?
They're right in the old store.
In the old store?
In the old store.
We really need to get that.
Well, there's half of them ready to go right now. It's 78
signs. We've said before, any members that want to come get the completed sign and put them, you know, if that road serves several members, then they can get to get them and put their road sign up. If there's lot numbers, they can just put up
and come. There's a...
But the lot numbers we put up already.
We didn't get the lot numbers original, but there were new ones made up, and they were given this person to put their own up.
There's a whole...
Yeah, which I did. On it. I put my name
already. And then we were going to put named road signs,
yeah,
too.
Right.
That's what he's talking about.
And as a matter of fact, if you look at the new maps that Vance has made up, every one of those roads is listed on there.
The names?
And the signs are already done.
Well, I'll tell you, when you're driving around,
there's half of them that's still in the dark.
Holy, do me a favor, don't give mine away.
It's confusing.
I don't give any of them away.
No,
there.
No, they got to go away the way on the map.
So the people that you want to go,
you pick that up and you mount it then. Okay,
I wouldn't know horse lane from.
Okay, now these are made on 3/4 MDX, so when you mount them, you can't mount them on a single post. You got to mount them on a double post.
Double post?
So that there's a mounting on each end of it, okay? They're going to be high enough off the ground that the cows can't scratch their back on them, okay?
Can we put those, can we use those,
okay?
The metal ones, what do they call them?
They got to be high, so the cows can't come and scratch their back on them.
The metal posts, they're heavy.
6 feet, probably 5 feet, 6 feet off the ground.
Metal posts, you know, the EV ones.
Right.
And you'd have a double.
Yeah, just have a standard piece of paper with, when you hand them out, and check off their name with the metal.
Then we'd like to set them on cedar posts.
Let's move on.
And just mold them into it.
Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make a note in the minutes on that we need to address these issues and bring it up as the action item for next meeting.
Yeah. Well, I think it needs to be more than that. I think people need to take actions on those and say that's going to happen.
We already issued.
I mean, something need to happen in months.
See, guys, Jerry's got a comment. Okay. Three signs will do it for the airport road, right, what you were saying. Private drive, then after that one, all side road members only, both at the gate and at the airport, and even when we come down the ramps, it says all side road members only.
It's difficult to distinguish the side road from the main road at a couple of junctions, though. Like Meadow Canyon, that V is like this,
yeah.
And most people go.
Broad Hollow is the same way.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Broad Canyon, I'm saying, yeah, and Meadow Canyon Crawford. People generally think because Crawford's been improved with that gravel, but that's the main road. They don't realize Main Meadow goes off this way. So
then we have to make a decision whether we close the whole ranch or
we post
every side road.
Well, and at the last meeting, Fred Searle offered to do posts at each road. He said he would do that to keep people off the side roads.
That's
so I
the
think
coded roads that members know about. It would mean nothing.
If you have it on a sign, then people will know. Red is the private road. Green.
Unfortunately, I've lost that.
I mean, you put that on the sign at the main road.
You got to remember those large signs like we put up. Now I got those almost free because they were a patient project. But those will cost you about $80 to $100 a piece, every one you make up.
But if we make
Vance, Prairie, this sign thing is almost as contentious as the Meadow Canyon Road thing. We need to get a couple people started on it.
Yeah, I agree.
Good idea.
Okay.
And then that way we got some people doing action on it and working on it and report back to the board. I think that's the best thing to do.
I mean, everybody, we got a bunch of ideas here. A lot of them are good. Almost all of them are good. But you need... This is something you guys could be emailing back and forth about.
Plus, they've already
and then present it to everybody and saying, here's our plan. Comments, questions, additions.
The
it's really hard to hash out right here, right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. The board already made a statement to the members about the signs that are there, that they can put up the sign that is completed and the number.
There's a couple of stopgap things you can do right away. You know, like at the fork at the airstrip.
By permission only, it could be one.
Yeah, I mean, dog filling with that is ID card access hanger thing. That could all be part of the.
I think we need to have an access committee. We need a fire committee.
We call it branch
security. Yeah, security committee. Yeah, I think there's several committees we need. I would make a motion we form a couple committees right away.
A bunch of hunters in quads that were up our road.
Right.
We did.
It was voted to maintain it as a private road, not turn it over to the county and be created a public road. But we did not specifically vote to say, okay, we're going to lock the upper gate and the lower gate and maintain it by lock and key.
Because the county had provisions in there to address the side road.
They did. Right. They did.
And that's why I felt that when that was taken care of in the manner that we did, that that closed the issue that the road was to be kept as a private road, not as a public road for those that want to just trespass through the center because of a trail or anything else. In fact, I thought it was a statement to saying we don't want the trail coming down through there. We don't want the people coming off the trail. If the Forest Service had access to go around, which I thought they had said that would happen with the county and stuff when that road was defeated. So I understood that the road would be maintained as a private road as well as the side roads.
It would probably do well to wait for just a little while because the property just below us is in a litigation right now with the Great Western Trail to keep them from going through his land. If he wins that there's a perfectly legitimate deviation around his property, then you can jump on the shirt tails of that and look at an alternative route, go around the ranch with the Great Western for us, because they're going to have to do it already for him.
Right.
It wouldn't hurt to just wait a few minutes on that.
On the going around to the left as you're coming down.
Okay, I'm going to actually probably ask Ken, because he was the one in charge of the sign stuff, to maybe give us some advice. Not here and now, but in heading up.
I'll look up and see what I can find and see what other people have done.
Why don't you head the committee on that?
You're already heavily involved
in the sign thing.
Can do the committee for that, and I also involved the ID stuff. And if you need any advice on that, I can help you.
So who are we going to have on this committee?
Who will volunteer?
Volunteer. Fred Searle will volunteer.
Okay, Brad. Yeah.
Brad.
And you, Dustin?
I'll volunteer.
I heard somebody volunteer there.
Is there somebody on the phone line with us?
Gert, are you
still? Are you still there, Gail?
Yes, I am.
You volunteered, right?
Sure.
That would be good.
I gotta go take care of horses.
Okay.
We'll volunteer for some more stuff.
Okay. And Ken, you want to be on that too then, or just
yeah?
So I have Fred Searle, Dustin, Gail.
What am I signing on to?
Wayne Bob, what are you signing up for? Oh. Sign committee. We're working on signs for the ranch.
All right.
I think we ought to get Brent involved in this one, too, because he's on the roads.
He's already doing this.
I know.
No.
He wanted to be on it, too.
Okay.
And on the matter of what other committees are we should have, because the board can't do it all.
We need to reevaluate. We have a dozen different committees, and to be honest with you, most of them have been fairly non-functional.
Yeah, so we probably need to evaluate that.
The committee part?
Yeah.
Next board meeting.
For next board meeting as organized. Okay. And anybody that wants to come up just with ideas on committees.
Put it out on the minutes to have anyone contact me, give them my phone number.
There's several committees I think we can come up with.
They already said they want
to. People are willing to help.
I do.
Okay, I count on you to take a little flag when it's next issue time and just say go.
Yeah.
Next issue. Yeah, because
we need to get on.
Okay. I'm not in a position to lower him. Okay. Weed and fire control, we spoke about. Goats have got it handled for the moment. We're off both lists because we have the herd of goats. If anybody has a complaint about the sight or smell of a goat, just let them know. It's part of our program. We're doing our.
I have.
You know, we don't really have a choice at the moment. Excavation of the basement. I got a bid from Robinson yesterday. He dropped it off. He will not only dig the hole, but he will take the dirt and bury the atrocity that Barbara Button complained about for so many years in the big wash with all the bed frames and everything. He'll take the dirt and throw it in there and bring that to level and take care of that and the basement in the same swoop for $2,900.
Do you think we can do better than that? That's a 40 by 80 hole.
That's just the hole. That's not the, the cement. That's just the hole.
And that son of a gun charged me $10,000 for 30 by 60.
He's doing the rancher favor. That's why.
Yeah, some donation going on.
That's a nice. That is a good deal.
No, that's, well, that's a good price.
We have plans for the house.
We don't have.
I'm gonna get plans. I'm gonna get Vance Green.
He's been waiting to hear him.
The my little draw ups. And he's going to work it to make it more professional, something that the county will accept.
That's the helmet engineer.
Write-off. It's my understanding you have to submit plans before you can do any excavation.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Right. But
and can we also make sure?
I just personally am not in favor of excavating until you've got a complete bid.
Right.
You start and let's just dig the hole, and we don't even know. You know, you dig the hole and you've got another guy doing the footings and he doesn't like how the hole's been dug.
But the thing we talked about and a lot of the living space being downstairs, I think we ought to still consider the idea of a walkout basement on it.
That's what it is.
He's going to push it off to the wash at grade so that we don't have to dig another hole for the walkout basement. It'll be put in the side of the hill.
Okay, so the, some of the rooms will have doors accessing the outside.
It's good.
Okay.
But anyway, he put that bid. I was told in the very first board meeting that I'm not to distract myself with the building of this house from my other jobs, which is probably a good idea. But if I don't push things along, I don't know who will. So we need either somebody that's heading up to get the house built committee, or I just don't. I think it'll get lost in the cracks. So September, the end of September, when the cold season starts, the board had committed that's when they plan to have it done by. And I know houses take a while to build, so somebody has got to be the
somebody's got to finance the house then,
and whoever's on that committee.
Well, it certainly requires a committee.
Yeah.
If you consider that 29 is what he quoted you,
uh-huh.
We have 2,000.
Well, but
it's going to cost money for permits and everything else.
I know. I know.
He said he'd cover the permit.
Chew it up.
Oh, he said he'd cover the permit to dig.
But that's the dig, not to.
Right.
For the whole thing. We need building permit.
Building permit.
Right.
So, okay. So basically, only he's got some penciled out drawing that he's going to give to Vance. And Vance going to make a drawing out of that, is that correct?
What I was going to do with all his sketches is put them on the website and try to get people to dump money on
it.
Maybe it wasn't you. Somebody said they had some experience with
Linda
that.
Linda said something to me about there's a volunteer who'll do the plan. That was supposed to be, was it?
He said he was going to get the plans to you to put on the website. That's what I knew.
They came over the radio last board meeting, and I thought, because you were on the radio, it was you, maybe it was someone else that said, if I had the plans, I know something about CAD and can make them more.
They've got to be to the point where what you do isn't going to generate endless revisions with the county saying, whoops, you did that wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. I would suggest, even though it's going to cost money, because time is of the essence, I realize that there's a lot of talent here, but there may not be that much talent here within the membership to actually generate a working set of plans. You need those. That's exactly right.
You have to have them to start.
At a minimum, it's like a 9-page.
If you want to take our $2,000.
If you want to see an example of plans, I got my house plans, and it's...
Okay.
It's at least like a 12-page.
And unless you guys,
what did it cost you to do that?
This is actually part of the package of buying.
We'll do them pro bono.
Package
of the
architect. You know,
right?
Well, there's the cheap, you've got code issues. I mean, there's stuff you got to do.
You've got two options, Ollie. One is to have an architect draw you plans from scratch, and that will probably cost.
You can
quite a bit, or you can go on to the 10,000 plans you could see on the internet and buy a set of plans.
I've had people offer me plans. Yeah. But I was trying to do something that was cheaper and things that we could incorporate the use of our mill and other things
can.
But that will take a lot more time. Actually, Larry, I overlooked, was the one put in charge of the house in our first, because he's a contractor and has the experience. So I really don't have an opinion. I yield entirely to the housing project because it's an asset to the ranch. It's the place I'm going to live. But whatever they come up with is what I'll move into.
But we need to expedite it.
But okay, that's ahead. What I'm saying. Yeah. If nothing happens, you know, soon. Months tick away fast, and when the winter comes,
yeah.
You know, Kendall will move back to Antimony to her nice home that she likes before she's stoking that fireplace in the garden cabin again.
We had Brent had come up with a log home plan that was sold, you know, or offered cheap. It's way too small for what we're needing, but that at least opened the door to communicate with the man that offered that. I've talked to him a dozen times on the phone. He sent me some information, and then another log home manufacturer out of Montana. Both of them have contacted me this week to say we would be willing to work with you on not only supplying you some logs and different things, but the design. So that may be a kind of a hybrid between a plan that's already designed, but specialized to help us use the mill, use some of the products that we have available, and some of the things that we want to build into our
It's like plunking the county standard details on any building. Find something that's already been approved.
There you go.
And hopefully you can integrate most of that. The county will look at it and say, "Oh, this has been approved."
This is my suggestion.
They're gonna rubber stamp it. It's like when you build a water system, you've got a standard detail for a valve box. You didn't draw it. You know, it's existed for years, but you include it in the drawing, and it gets automatically grandfathered in.
Several things
that have been down that road that have been put together.
They sent him offers of designs, but see, in that case, we have to have money right away because they have the plans and the things ready to go.
You have
to have the money to do it.
Yeah, if you buy a kit, they can usually give you all the plans as part of it.
That's the best.
That's what I'm doing for my house.
Yep.
And they just custom design it, and then you get the plans, and it's all done.
As long as you buy it from them.
But you got to buy it from them.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, these guys that I've talked to they realize that we're going to do anything we can cut with our mill. Why would we buy from their mill? And so they're willing to work with us on whatever timbers and stuff we're going to do. But
that sounds like the right direction.
You can negotiate like that.
We can't turn logs in a portion of our building. That's kind of the direction we've been going.
Right.
It's going to be a log ranch structure.
So can we move to it's
nice to
turn it over to a housing committee?
You can, except when it's not expedient to do that.
Okay.
You know, we might be at that point with this.
This guy that was sitting with me used to sell log cabin lands. He's got 600 acres in Island Park in the Lodgepole, and he's got his own mill and everything up there to cut it.
Wow.
He hasn't been doing it for a couple of years, but he's got all the equipment. I talked to him a little bit about possibly getting me the logs in here. And you can make a kit what you want. I mean, they'll He supplies the logs. They're 5-inch good on three sides with the log on, you know.
Was it Joseph Woods?
No, that was J.C. Simpson.
Oh, J.C. Simpson. Okay.
And he spends the whole summer up there. He only spends about 2 months here in Tanab. Now, whether he'd be willing to do it or not, the biggest cost would be shipping them down here. But he could put out the logs you need to fit probably any plan. You just cut the logs when you get them here, and then you could make the...
You know, what the capacity of his mill is on diameter size?
He cuts a 5-inch log, I think it is, to five or 6x6, with the log still on the outside. So it's squared on
like
the
inside. Like a D log.
We have to have better than 9.
Yeah, for the size of building we're talking about doing, if we do anything smaller than a 9-inch log,
I don't think he has...
It's going to be...
He's in the Lodgepole area, and they're not...
You're not that
right. We have an R factor issue here too. We're at 6,500 feet, and
What size logs did you use, Larry? Are you got sevens or eights?
I got eights.
Yeah.
Now, you might be able to do eights or something like that. I don't know. I just haven't.
I've talked to three different companies, and they've all said for the size of building we're talking about, eights would be really the minimum. Nine would be ideal. Ten starts to get into, I mean, it looks a lot better. Tens and twelves look great, but they're
very expensive.
Hard cost and your labor to deal with them.
Or I've seen other kits where they do a D-log and then they do a insulation and then they do another layer of tongue and groove on the outside, and that gets it fairly energy efficient.
What's the bottom line as far as paying for it? I mean, if we wait on membership donations, we can't ask anybody's bid. We can't, I mean, with any integrity, we can't say we have this money to spend or not. And that's going to hold up the show. We, you know, whatever decision you make, we have to be able to pay.
Well, don't we need it?
I think that's plans.
We need plans, we need bids, and then we need
to get the cost first. Official plans that are acceptable for the digging permit. So,
and then I think the cost, you know, the bid type thing is something that, I mean, $2,900 is a good price to dig for the basement. I'll dig it for free.
I will dig it.
So,
what we really need is we need a budget for the house and know exactly how much it is, and then we know how much we need. Yeah, we're going to have to do that.
Plan has to come before that,
but we need to know exactly down the last nut, bolt, and hinge, how much is this thing going to cost, and then we're going to have to make decisions on how we're going to pay for it.
The other thing we've got to impress upon the membership, everybody's in a panic of thinking, truly, in the real world, what we're going to build is several hundred thousand dollar building.
So how are we going to...
Over a period of time.
But then we're going to have to come up with that. The initial structure itself is going to be over $100,000 in the real world buying it. Because we've got members that can donate and do work and our own mill and things we can do.
If you want, it should be considerably less.
I mean,
but we should have a number of what materials we can supply ourselves and those are going to be out of the cost and what materials we're going to have to buy. We're going to have a final number, and everybody's going to need to know that.
We'll probably get you a number of what it's going to cost.
Yeah.
And then based on that... Everything we can save in that...
But the thing is there's a big chunk of money we're going to have to come up with right away. And if we're going to do this year, because this year is ticking away already, and we're going to have to make some decisions on it. How is that going to happen? Now, just saying, okay, let's cry out for manna and hope we get the money, we don't know if that's going to happen. And if that's dependent on keeping holy, we're going to have to do something else. I mean, some serious decisions have to be made.
Last board meeting, we plan to have a whole bug by this board meeting.
You know what I mean? So if we don't move a little bit more forward on this, it's not going to happen. And then we're going to lose Ole. So...
My plan,
so what are we going to do?
Fit because they have to be plans that the county, the building inspector,
so
will
we gotta
give
go,
a permit.
We got to get internet plans that have already been done and approved that
can we do that.
We can do that.
No, we've already elected Larry to make the decision. He's a builder. He knows the difference between.
Can you do that?
I can get a plan.
Somebody make a motion? I can't do that.
The other thing is that. The building department here is different than California or Vegas or Phoenix or anywhere else, and you don't have to have the
exact.
I mean, it's we could sit at this table and draw a plan that we could get a building permit on tomorrow.
Okay. We did that.
So can you take it in there and have somebody do a little bit of wave off and so that you guys can
because we can't start digging until that happens. And I know there's a process for that.
Well, in my view, the reason for the plans is not to satisfy the building department.
To know what we're doing.
Absolutely.
What we're doing, have an organized plan so that we minimize utilities, we stack bathrooms, do things like ought to be done. I doubt if we did that if we haven't involved an architect. I mean, I seriously doubt if we've done that. I mean, we probably come up with some functional things that this would work out, but you know, there's a lot of things that
probably all the plumbing and electricity ran on the same wall.
We did that.
So that That is a very simple plan.
And you know how the UVC goes?
No.
Okay, I'm just telling you.
Okay.
You there's particular having you have built to have a bunch of houses and gone through those processes,
right,
and putting the electrical panel in the wrong place, and then having
take it out,
you know, to deal with all those kind of things because it wasn't quite thought out. The best thing is to have a well set of plans so that we can do two things: minimize our costs and get good bids. For us to start off not knowing who's going to pour the concrete and go dig a hole, for example, and then to find out that the concrete guy really thinks that we should have over-excavated and done something different for 3 feet and compacted it back in differently, or, you know, all those kind of things just are a calamity of errors, and I don't think we want to be in the process of building that way. And so we've got to have a set of plans that we can get a good build, and then we can see some kind of a timeline associated with it and know, you know, who's going to act as the general contractor. If Larry is or somehow we're going to coordinate it, still, you need to know what all of the steps are. We don't pour a footing without having the electrician run the conduit in. We don't, you know, you've got to know who are all of the subs and how they're going to work together.
Accomplish things faster. I know the concern is, well, let's get something started. I think we can arrive at a final end product faster by having the plan, marching through it on a timeline. Then, well, let's dig a hole, and then 2 weeks later, well, let's find somebody with forms.
So we're going to have somebody that's in charge of that particular process.
Already
so if Larry is going to do that. Then we're going to need to come up
this
with that.
Oh, now he's the president. He's got more jobs.
Shoulder up on somebody else.
Let me. Larry is better prepared than anybody at this table to head up the building of that house project. And I just yield completely to whatever he decides on plans, on furthering the cause, on getting. He's done this before. He knows what to do. All of our best coordinated effort isn't going to equal what he can do, and sometimes too many cooks in the kitchen will take the process longer.
He has a single point of contact.
Larry,
it all has to happen.
It's on his shoulders. He'll move it forward, and maybe we can lessen the weight of the rest of the president.
Do you think
he would be a great interim president? We just have.
Speaking of never seeing him again.
You guys have already reached my meeting threshold.
Not necessarily, but the log companies, I mean, they'll ship you a truckload of logs with the end cuts in them, so
marked and everything.
Stack them however you want.
We still need a custom drawing. We're not going to use the cap.
If I can. If we can go through a library on the internet or wherever and find something that what we're doing is kind of unique.
Okay, let's each of us look for things that we think fit our mind. Yeah, let's forward them to Larry. Each one of us take an hour
Larry's
or two.
Larry's computer isn't working.
I'm a little bit uncomfortable
with working. Let's each of us look for different things, and then we forward what we find to Larry.
I'm happy
and let Larry look at
them. Let's let.
He'll be fixed.
Well, Dirk's gone through this too. He's building houses as well. So.
Is there a motion?
And Larry's a contractor. Larry builds houses. I'm a salesperson, and I design and market houses. I don't, you know, pound nails and do the things.
Right.
So Larry's got much better knowledge than I do.
Dirk's wife is an architect.
Wife is an architectural draftsman, so she.
What are we sitting here arguing?
And if you want to get in line, she'll have one for you in 3 years.
Yeah.
She owns a lot.
You have no pull.
She does a lot of houses that I build.
Yeah.
She owns a lot.
But there are plenty of competent architect draftsmen in St. George and stuff that we could send this sketch that you've put to down there for $400 or $500.
If we look, our building is sitting in southern Utah right now.
We can afford that.
Cedar Mountain, St. George, it's already been done. We don't need to go invent the arc.
Right.
So it already sailed.
So when are we going to do that? The thing is for plans, if we're going to work with somebody that's going to supply a good portion of the materials, the cheapest way to do it is to have them do it. So if you go work with a company and we say, we need a 25% of the materials of this house is going to be supplied with your logs,
Well, here's
or whatever, right? However we're doing it, and then they can do they'll do the plans for free,
right?
And they'll do them custom. And I think that's the best way to go, and then it's the least cost, because if we go independently and get a separate draftsman and then a separate supplier and everything else, it's going to cost more.
And take time.
And take more time.
Wasn't
so,
the whole idea to build it ourselves with our own materials? Rather?
But not all of it, right?
So we can't do it all ourselves.
We can't do it all ourselves.
Have them start it and say, hey, we can get those beams for you. We can make that beam. We can, because they'll have the kit that lists what you need.
Not only that.
We
don't keep going out there. We don't have a kiln.
20-foot and we've got that.
There are places that will just sell you the plans. You don't necessarily have to buy the kit.
Right, right.
They will sell you their plans.
That place in Panguitch will give you the plans.
And
that's one of their little...
But usually they'll give you the plans for free if they sell you a certain percentage of the materials, and you can work with those guys.
There are places that will sell you their plans.
And you can do that, too.
We can talk to Loretta.
But usually you can get them for free.
I can talk to Loretta?
You need plans in the next 4 weeks, and I promise you she won't do them.
She won't have them?
Yeah.
So I think getting it from suppliers is the best way to go, but...
Brent, have you heard anything back from Dave White?
I did hear back from Dave White, and he is desperate to sell that cabin kit that I originally said you guys.
He could add a little bit more to it.
Why don't you just
put that cabin kit up, and we can make the addition for the lodge part of it later.
He's dropped the price by under $4,000.
It's too small.
How much is it now?
It's now $25,000. From $29,000 to $25,000. It's a $36,000 package, and it's now down to $25,000.
What's the square footage on it?
It's engineered for 100 miles snow load, which we need out there. All the plan, he says he can walk into, and he's built them in Kane County before, he can walk in, present the plans, and walk out with a building permit within an hour here. He's done it before because he's built places.
Yeah, it's a done deal.
Anyway, that cabin kit is still available, and the price is now down to $25,000. I would encourage anybody who's thinking about building a place out there in Deer Springs, if we don't want to buy this thing, I'd buy it. If I was sitting in a different position, you know, if this was 4 years ago or five years ago before I started my project, I'd buy this thing.
What's the square footage on that kit? Do you know?
17-something would be over
there. If that's not, I'll buy it.
I'm
going to be built. I have a lot I'm building right now. That's nothing.
Whatever the ranch, the size is fine. I
one floor and a
very cheap. Give me the spot of dirt and I'll build my own house.
It's one floor.
But
downstairs,
you know, I don't care how it gets.
Kitchen, great room, two bedrooms upstairs, bathroom upstairs.
How acceptable is that picture?
Very similar to Larry. Very
she looked at it. She loved it.
Murphy's.
As cheap as that is,
we need to build an add-on. You can add on.
Let's just do that because that's the cheapest way to get it done, and it'll get done quick.
I'll tell you what, by and large, you ain't gonna get it no cheaper.
No, that's a very inexpensive. I've seen.
And if it's already Kane County approved,
that's $50,000.
So let's go for it.
Put it members of the vote in doing this.
It's in the law. That's 5 years.
Otherwise, it's not.
This
ain't gonna happen.
We can't meet this deal. My concern was a lot of the membership is kind of saying, well, you're just building a nice house for old, which we are, yes, but
it's not always
for the ranch. It's
the ranch.
Yeah. Exactly. My first offer to the ranch was, give me the property, I'll build my own house at no cost to the ranch.
Yeah.
They said, no, we want the asset to the ranch. So I said, fine, build the house. I'm happy either way. But I know that when September rolls around,
well, then we need to make a decision on what we're going to do there. It's got to get funded somehow, and it's got to get funded quick, or we
can borrow,
or we do a $1 a year lease to Ole on the property for 100 years or something. We're going to have to do one or the other, and we got to make a decision.
And we can do this. I think we can do this and sell it to the membership as a 3-year project. The initial house residence for the manager is phase one.
That's the immediate need.
The
extension.
The bed and breakfast wing for guests or whatever.
The meeting hall area.
Maybe that's next year or the third year. A meeting hall.
See, and that's something we can use our mill and do at our own rate.
Sure.
And it's not pressing. The only thing pressing is getting something to put around my children.
What's the square footage of that house?
Something like 1,700.
Combined, that's up
four bedrooms.
Four bedrooms.
Yeah, but we're putting a basement under it, so that's going to double it.
No, you already
that's
figured that.
Yeah,
already figured that.
Well, yeah, but we'll put it, you know, the basic kit's going to cost us $25,000. I deleted all that stuff out because I thought you guys were just not interested, but we can still get a hold of Dave and get the information back. But if we put a basement under it, and we add some bedrooms down, the basement expense is not critical. But the big thing here is we got a set of plans that are already approved. It's a 100-pound snow load already engineered into this thing. It's done. It's sitting. The only other additional expense is the shipping from Vernal, which will have to be shipped from the Vernal area.
Where's that?
Northeast corner.
Still in the state.
So, Brent, is this a kit that somebody bought and they're trying to resell?
No, no. What happened was is the couple bought the kit. They paid $36,000 for it. At the very last, they went in, they cut the whole kit, got it all ready to go. It includes windows, doors, and all this other stuff, by the way, and roofing. If we want to add metal to the roof,
wow.
24? 25.
Anyway, very inexpensive.
What they did was the woman changed her mind and wanted the 9-inch log rather than the 7-inch log. And so their deposit of $7,000 from 36 to 29, the guy kept, and he wanted to sell the kit for 29. He sent me an email 2 days ago saying, Brent, the kit's now down, you know, I'm trying to get rid of this thing, I'm going down to 25 on it.
So, Brent, what's the square footage on the main floor of that?
I want to say it's somewhere right around 1,000, something like that.
Yeah, 700 in the loft area.
Yeah,
that's standard.
I can't remember exactly. I looked at it all. I can't remember the information to everybody. But anyway, I think it's a good deal. I saw it as an opportunity with plans and everything. We put a basement under it to increase the square footage.
I think that would be good. Let me ask one more question.
No.
He's got what's made, and we need to use that. Is there a way that we can add a few hundred square feet onto that, and they can add to that as part of their...
You know, that I couldn't answer. I think the design itself is flexible in relation to how we can function with it. And one of the things with the mill is we could actually add to it ourselves in relation to that. I wish I had printed out a set of the plans and brought them here.
Well, if we could be like a 1,200 square foot main floor, I'd feel a lot better about that. You know, if we could do that, use the materials, and you know, if they have a kit that's like the next step up, and they've already got plans for it, and it just requires adding a few things or something.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
You know, something that's still in there where they have the plans and all,
right,
and would be able to utilize the lumber that they've got cut, but have some...
It would be fairly simple to scratch any given plan. Even if they've got the complete kit cut, you're going to add square footage by adding two more trusses and adding a certain number of randomly... The way they do these kits, they have a corner cut and then random logs, and a corner cut and random logs. So
just check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you look into that over there,
if they
got like the next size up.
I can email him and find out. Larry's been in contact with him too. I don't know. Did he send you the production and price? your computer.
He called me. I was actually in Duchesne, and he called me earlier this week. Because when we were talking, he was in Montana with the grandbaby's birth and whatever. That's why I got confused. I've been dealing with Dave White and Dave Smith, one from Montana and one in Montana that lives in Joseph, Utah. And so we can certainly get back with him. And he's called me a couple of times saying, hey, I'd love to get with you.
You guys don't want to do that, I'll take it.
I think good building, actually.
I'll tell you what, I'll just get it.
Call it a core building and go from there.
Yeah.
Freak it out.
If you aren't going to do it, I'll take it. I think we lost our quorum.
We can see about expanding.
No, we're going to need a quorum out there.
Yeah,
we should make a commitment.
I think we should. This is an opportunity that we can, if we grasp this, that we can move forward with it.
Right.
With, you know, within, we got 6 months.
Okay.
And it takes a while to build.
It takes, it'll take that long to build a house.
See, maybe each of us here came up with $3,000 a piece. We could pretty well do it. Maybe $5,000 a piece.
Yeah,
then we could order that right now.
Okay.
But we can't.
How are we going to?
We really can't.
What's the deal with coming up with the number? You're gonna get a loan. You're gonna hammer the members. What are you
gonna we're gonna have to do something.
Make a loan.
Well, that's one thing we did last year. Is we paid off our.
Yeah, I was gonna say you paid off the grader
and the Kubota.
And what do we have any outstanding loans?
We're limited to $30,000 is what we can approve for a loan. That's the cap.
Yeah.
On the ranch is $30,000.
We're limited to $30,000
without any approval,
without a member.
You can go larger.
Right. $25,000
plus $5,000
for permit. That's not like $30,000. But, you got to go with a sure thing, which unfortunately is a loan.
Yeah.
Okay? You can't go with, oh yeah, the members are all going to be great and they're going to do this.
The members would be great. We'd have to start with low.
We have.
And then whatever we get from the
membership. Once it's paid for, we'll never get it from the membership.
It's not going to be totally paid for, though.
The loan will be paid back by the members.
Well, and to get it going, you got to have a core amount of materials to have it done.
I mean, obviously minimize the loan.
I'll tell you what I'll do. That $3,000 that you guys owe me.
Oh, no, Brent.
You can go ahead and put into this cabin fund.
Oh, man.
As long as you pay me that $3,000 at some point in time.
You've got that figure down a long way already.
So, if that'll help this process along, just do it.
Because
you guys have reached my meeting level threshold.
Yeah, we're about
all of our meetings. Or, you know what, also, I have A1 credit, and I have paid off most everything in my life.
Yeah, we don't want to push that button.
No,
I've already pushed the Kinda button.
Well, I'm just telling you, you give me a 100-year lease on a piece of dirt that I can put it on, I'll buy and build the house. If you can't get the money, I can get the money. But
we can get the money.
Okay. We can get the money. Yeah.
But the thing is that they got to go together. It's just like the signs. You can't do the ID card without the signs. You can't do the signs without the ID. You can't do the funding for the house without the house number, which you're dealing with, and vice versa. All
right. It all makes sense.
So we get the plans. All right. Where's the money?
Yeah, and then we waited another whole nother month.
Right.
In the middle of it.
Got to go on parallel tracks here.
I mean, we won't even make a decision on what we're going to do until 2 or 3 months down the road, and by that time we've lost our time to get it built.
I agree.
We have to do it now.
Well, I don't know what.
I will contact Dave, and maybe even with Brent, we will understand what the possibilities of expanding or changing this. What can we do with this kit to make it fit our needs better, and maybe talk with him a little bit about the plan.
What will we have done by next meeting? Well,
there must be some action items that are people are responsible for.
Because if we can get the kit and go to the county and get the hole in the ground,
it's not going
to
be around too much longer.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Have to move on this. Right. So somebody needs to go to the bank. And at least figure out what.
Well, we have money in our. We got money in our account.
We have money.
Yeah, we really.
Are we going to lean against that? Are we going to loan this account against that?
Whatever kind of bank, our own bank. You need to figure out how you're going to fund it.
Well, $30,000 that we have at our discretion we'll get the kit bought. That's the first step.
No one knows what it is.
Because the kit comes with the plans, then you take the plans to the county and you approve the whole
zero.
Time to start building.
Yep. Yeah.
You can get a long way down the road.
It's easy to get extensions to your permit afterwards to get, we want to do expansion B, expansion C. That's real easy to do once you got the initial permit.
Somebody could make a motion to approve using the $30,000 at their discretion to buy the kit and get it on its way.
Right. From the general fund.
Hey, Larry, how much is the septic these days?
$4,000.
Okay, don't forget about that.
And then we need to come up with a budget and a timeline. Both of those things.
I have your email address.
Sure.
when somebody mentions the $30,000 at our discretion, are you talking about the loan ability? I mean, we have, as a board, we've been basically given the $30,000 loan limit without going to the membership.
Or is that
from
spending limit?
No.
We can go to the bank, borrow $30,000.
That covers it.
That's what I would say.
That'll get the kit here.
All right, so we have $2,000 in there so far, our fund.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, for borrowing money, we could be starting to pay back with the $2,000 we already
have.
You know? Or go out and borrow 28, I don't care.
Again, I'd like to make a motion. I make a motion that we use our capacity to get a loan for $30,000 as a board to start this project, and that we would buy the kit that's available to us with the plans that come with that, so we can get the building permit started.
At 20, what is it, $25,000?
He sent me it was $25,000.
Plus shipping.
From Vernal.
So that'd be
wherever there.
$5,000 there, probably.
$3 a mile. I've calculated shipping a whole house from New Hampshire, and it's only $4,000. So it's not going to be $1,500 to $2,000 at the most.
Right, good,
it's not going to be that much.
I second the motion.
All right, yeah. Let's make sure. You and Kenda have looked at those plans, and that is to her satisfaction. I don't want to be going down this road and then have her say, Jesus, why did you do that for?
No, she looked at them, and she's of the same opinion. We're not picky.
Oh, I know.
But it looks better than
my main concern, Larry, and you're going to find that out, is whether we can hit with...
We definitely can add to, even if we can't stretch the square footage of that house, we can put in that house, the basement and the log house. Next year we can add a wing here.
I think as part of this, when we present this to the members next month or whatever, because we should get that those plans up on the website as scanned, is have somebody responsible for doing the design for the wings, the expansion, so people will see what the future of that's going to be.
2 years, 3 years.
That's right. So we know, and we know what those are, and those can probably be fairly easily built with the materials we have on site.
Okay, we have a motion from John Southwick to secure a loan for a limited $30,000 to purchase this kit and move forward with the project.
John seconded it.
Second by John.
Our team.
Okay. And Linda would be the one who goes to the bank and does that, right?
It will probably be me, and I can go to the bank and at least get
paperwork started.
The initial stuff, and then it will be met. The last time we did a loan, when we bought the grader and whatnot, we went to the...
What are you using for collateral?
One of those common lots.
Okay.
And that's already.
And before we didn't say the grader and the Kubota were the collateral to buy
the grader.
Yeah, but we get a better rate if we use the real estate.
So we have a motion. We have a second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
When will it be done by?
Well, that's what I was saying. Timeline, budget.
Yeah.
We can do that this week, can't we?
John, can I have your email address?
We need to contact that Dave Smith guy and say, look, the next person. If you guys want.
We need to get that.
If you guys want, you can use that $3,000 to secure this thing, and then you can pay me back. I'm not. Money doesn't.
He claims to be a good friend of mine.
Yeah, I asked him about that again, and he says, I know only through horse.
He told three people now.
He does the same thing I do, a lot of outfitting and trail rides and different things.
I think Brent's right. I mean, the whole thing hinges now on the fact that he didn't sell it to somebody this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Even if that's the case, we need that for something else today. To get a package of materials. Either way.
Still stands. And
we can't have any trouble.
You can go to the front desk here at the hotel and email it.
He doesn't have the address. I don't have his email address here. Yeah.
Or Larry can do it.
Computer's broken.
You can't look at your emails from another. Don't you have webmail?
I can look at the Starband email. Well, anything that hasn't been captured by my Outlook Express is on my computer.
Yeah.
And I can't access my computer.
You all got to get on Gmail.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Okay. No, I think it
This is a different one. I just want to let you know it's not that big of a panic because in the world of Log Homes, that deal is not that great of a deal. That's just, he's making money on that.
Yeah.
Well, then he really made a lot of money on the
original.
With the doors and the windows and the tin and everything?
They're not in business to give away log
homes. Not the tin.
They're in business to make money.
That's fine.
I mean, and if you can
put up an additional
if you think there's a better deal, let's get that. I mean, you know, whatever it would be. It's got to be metal. It's got to be metal.
Yeah, definitely put the metal on. Okay, for the record, and I'm not saying this, I'm not supporting you, but I am abstaining on this vote. Okay, just because I was the one that promoted this out on the newsletter.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not going
to come back
and
say this. You just don't want to.
I'm not opposing it. I'm just abstaining from voting on this.
Okay, somewhere right there now.
Now, that leads into, we probably need somebody or a committee or something to...
Promoted as a restricted voluntary thing.
Larry's already at the head of that
committee. To do a fundraiser for this. Because I think just blindly saying, okay, let's get some money... People want to get more excited about putting some money down on the table. If we do some type of party or fundraiser or something, you know, if you go to like an FBI dinner or something like that, you do a raffle or whatever, people will get excited about that and are willing to open up their
checkbook. When is it that we're having that
19th. Of what? May.
So
of May.
May 19th.
We should have something as part of that.
I think we
should. People can donate some things to put into some sort of raffle or something where people will...
Bingo.
I mean, there's lots of ways to do it, right?
How about a gun?
That, any of the email...
I've got some things I can donate.
Newsletters or anything?
So... There's lots of ways to do that, but I mean that needs to be organized.
We need to need to get a group together to do that.
Okay.
Just like we did before a couple years ago.
We cut it in thirds. They're all the same.
Kids booked me on a cruise.
Oh. I think we need to keep this meeting moving.
They got a game.
Maybe we can.
I second that.
Till next meeting. Maybe come up with some ideas, Dustin.
Yeah. I'll make a note in the meeting minutes that we need to get something going for a fundraising.
Anything?
You know what? I want to cut my thing short just to move along. I'll run through them quickly. We talked about Cabinet 9 to 10. It's been brought up by a couple of members of cabin adoption as far as doing the grounds around them and the decorating of them that certain members have wanted to take personal interest in a cabin here and there. Gail offered to do Cabin 10 to make it, put a corral up there and make it so that it's a place where people with horses can come. How does the board feel about members being able to make a pet project out of a cabin as far as the maintenance, and it will save us money? And
provided that there's some way, number one, that they let us see what they want to do. Number two, or that they have something that will guarantee the completion of the project. We got a lot of half-finished projects, a lot of started projects around the ranch. And then people tire of them because they realize that it's more work than they ever really intended to get into. So, you know, we have a lot of things we prepare for, and people are going to do this and that and the other, and then it never happens. So there's got to be some kind of a formal line of agreement or a written agreement or something, not a verbal. It's got to be something in writing that says, I really want to take this project on, and this is where I will take it to this point.
That's what I will tell them.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you need to vote on that, or should I just tell them that and see how it develops for next?
I'll make that proposal.
Well, why don't you tell them where they have proposals, bring it to the board.
Board to approve them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then we really need to get something in writing saying that they will take this to completion.
Well, one of the things that I think needs to happen is that our quality level needs to increase around a lot of things, and I'm a little bit afraid of projects where they're not, you know, monitored or approved, and ending up with some things Even some of the past managers of the time have done some things that you drive up there and you say, what were they thinking? I think we need to end those days.
It's like renting the water system. Exactly right. I mean, they may have had the best intentions at the time, but ouch.
Do we need to vote on the approval to spend money for the water system?
It's already
in our budget. It's not expensive. It's
just
that's maintenance.
Okay, what else?
Okay. The vehicle is still up in the air. What did we find out?
No, it's on its way. It's bought
and it's coming.
And the transportation, I think, last I heard, it was
in the mail. It was committed. He gave him the money to go ahead and have it shipped.
Okay.
And I'm sorry that I took so long on that.
Failed on me. My truck will be the next one at the sick shop if something doesn't happen.
Okay.
Horse rides. We're talking National Foxtrot. Oh, the National Foxtrotter Association wants to come. I have hosted them 2 years in a row at Bryce Canyon. They want to come and have their ride with me again. I'm not at Bryce Canyon. They said that they would like to come to Deer Springs. They are a great bunch of people. They come, they spend money, and they leave. We've talked about our interest in having those. I quoted them a price, but I said it'd be subject to approval from the board. Do you want the National Foxtrotter? So it's like the endurance ride that you hosted.
Would it include housing? Or
no, they all have self-contained units. They'd probably pull into the lot where all the equipment is down there, which we've slated for an orchard, pull in their rigs. Where basically our expense is water for their horses. I lead them on trail rides for a couple of days, and they give us about $100 a head per person per day. I have to do all the cooking and the outfitting and the entertainment, all that stuff. What I do.
What do you see number-wise?
I think I had 150 of them last year.
And when
do they remember? Memorial Day.
Okay. So out of that money, you would take the expenses for the food and everything like that?
Yeah. I'd run it the way I do it. When I run it for me only, I give you the money instead of keeping it.
Okay. Where would they park out again?
You know, when you come into the ranch, there's that whole field to the south between the wash and the road that goes into the headquarters.
Yeah.
That road, or I could, if I had, I don't have the ability to get water all places, but I could take them out into one of the pastures, like near the pump house where we have that spigot. They just have a half a place to water their horses. They're all self-contained. And I can put them pretty much anywhere we have a flat spot with water. I could even put them up, if the roads are good by then, up by the ponds where there's that spigot.
What time of year?
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day, that's the end of May. 26th of May.
That would probably work because we'll be riding on that brand new trail.
26th of May is when everything should be open.
But I can put them in the fields below so they're not interrupting with anything.
Is the fields below there have a lot of sagebrush and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if up around the airstrip would be a place that we
don't have water there. Or if we do it by the tank.
The old tank site, do we still have a faucet?
Well, no, I don't think so.
No, but I could put them at the top of the airstrip and use the wood. Do you need me, Brent?
No, I was just going to say Jeremiah Johnson's on him here in the lobby.
I saw that.
I got that movie, The Cabin, if you want to borrow it or rent it from me.
Well, there at the top of the airstrip would be a good place, and the water.
Yeah,
because there you've got a lot of those vehicles then that could park on the airstrip.
There may be a weekend that still flies in.
You
need to check with
them. They're truly good. You don't want to be parked. Right.
And then land.
Well, I posted the board, whatever you think. There's not a spigot at Leaf Spring. There's water, but there's not a spigot for culinary water. And we have to have something that's certified for public, and the only two that we have at the upper water system, the lower water system. It's going to be more handy to be at the upper water system because the trail goes out from there. Mm-hmm. So probably that meadow where the volleyball court is out there, because I can take them as deep into that meadow as I need to, and there's a road that runs along there.
They have signs that are posted there that say not to drive on that meadow right now.
Right, but if they're pulling out there to park,
I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm just saying that there is a sign that posted not to.
It's an exception that we can deal with.
So put a bag over it.
We're all over it.
So years
ago. Yeah.
Well, plus the cattle have been in there like crazy, and so you know.
Well, one of the things we need to do, and this is maybe not the right time, but we need to make group parking areas.
Yes, we do.
You know, we don't have any. You get up there with 25 cars around the lakes, and it's a problem.
Right.
Like the motorcycle race, I go to that every year up there on the airstrip, and you get, you know, 100 RVs parked on there, and they all have to go back down the same thing, you know, because we haven't made any side connectivity there. And we probably need to think through, here's like four or five areas where we can host some group activities that just at least has some
there is also
points and some place.
We've talked before, we need to put a couple of RV hookups up.
They're bringing in some good funds, and part of those funds can be dedicated for land restoration.
Yeah, well,
so can we put that on the
money? If you want it, I can get it for you, or I can
Well, I think we should approve this personally. Yeah, I'd make a motion to approve, allow
I'll second the motion.
To come in.
All right, second. And motion seconded to have the Fox Trotter Association.
Is it Fox Trotter or Horse Trotters?
Fox Trotters.
Fox Trotters.
They don't ride fox.
No, but they leave really funny imprints in the ground.
Yeah.
Because they're always fox trotting.
Okay. Fox Trotter.
I would like to add to that, well, before you vote on it, that I would also. We're going to try and get that endurance ride that was there before. I spoke to the people this weekend about getting it to come back on a yearly basis because there's money to be made there too, and they're the lightest impact of anybody. They're used to going to endurance rides, and they have all their stuff on their horse contained, and they're very light rigs. And it's not as big many people. It's just pretty much the racers and the veterinarian crew.
That's a separate group?
Yeah. But since you're going to vote on bringing Foxtrotter, also... that I can proceed with getting the endurance ride to come back because that's something that, you know, it's no engines, no noise, not very much dust, and they actually are racing off of the property. They're not on the property, they're just staying there, and then they're up on the Grand View. And
I amend my motion to include and encourage the endurance and also the annual support of the motorcycle desert race there.
So that's three of them.
Basically, we're voting, do we want that kind of stuff or not?
Yes, yes. We have voted. We'd like to have a...
There will be other...
Unconditional approval of each individual item as it comes up, okay?
Yeah.
And you can do that on email as far as that's concerned. It doesn't have to be a meeting held for it. As long as it doesn't take members away from any activities that are planned for the members.
And that's just going to be a scheduling issue.
That's going to be a scheduling issue, right.
Simple.
Okay, so Dirk's motion for the... Foxtrotters, the endurance ride, and the motorcycle annual. Or, I don't know that it's an annual.
It said encouragement for an annual.
Okay.
Yeah,
any function along that line. Okay.
Big groups that don't use the cabin.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Motion.
Sure.
Second. Still stand. Who was the second?
The second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
We may have to apply, if we do a lot of that, we may have to apply for the tax. The county tax that is for travel, I don't know. You may have to look into that, paying taxes on that.
TTNRT?
Yeah, TNRT.
I don't, unless we're charging for lodging.
Are we not?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they bring their own lodging. What we're charging for is my guiding service, my entertainment, and my food.
Well, I'm worried about your time taken away with this group and on the longer thing. We have all our.
Okay.
Who's going to.
True.
Yeah, that's the only issue, right? Is if you're going to be gone.
My wife does govern the cabin.
We may need to have a set of
cabins going.
Well, I know that.
Yeah,
if they want to work
we were just looking at this. We've never done anything since 1992. All of a sudden, the state wants us.
Kind of the press.
No, we've been filing every year since then, but the 1992 is the last time we paid sales.
How about anybody else's horse?
And for this last year, that's what that's for. In
1992, that's 14 years ago.
It's the last time we paid any sales.
These guys book because they want me. And
but we've been filing every year. I found out. I mean, that's why I had
for zero.
Yeah.
Hey, what are we?
I don't.
Let's finish one thing and then move on to the next. Okay, we had the motion on the three. We had a second. We had a unanimous vote.
Okay.
Everything on that? You're okay there?
Yes.
Okay. This sales tax.
We have not paid sales tax since 1992.
And what do we pay sales tax on?
Anything that we sell. If we sell something out of
rent rooms,
so
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Not for members.
Bars.
Yeah. Pop stuff in the store.
Horseback rides.
whatever we have not filed for that we have collected any sales tax since 1992 because it's not been a large enough issue.
But I wonder, is there a minimum amount of sales that have to take place to justify?
I'm thinking there is, but I don't know.
I mean, it's like a couple of $100.
Yeah, it's not.
So we got to charge
you. However, you know, what this is asking for is
making or losing money.
All this is asking for is if we consider ourselves defunct in that area or not.
Every
year we've turned in is not applicable, right?
So far, we have not paid any sales tax since 1992, and this paper here says that we won't again in 2006, but for next year, so we need to think about.
For profit organization.
It's always been that way.
It's always been that way.
Well, then.
But. If we,
it doesn't mean you don't have to charge sales tax.
Yeah, this is not.
We got into this issue before. Normally, they don't look at you unless there's a lot of money.
So we did have any charge
now. All of a sudden,
we haven't.
I don't know. You see, all of a sudden, you're talking about $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 that we're going through that with. You know, even though we run it at a break even because of the cost of the horses and everything like that and cost of running it. They're talking about the collection of sales tax. This isn't the same as the income tax.
So should we be charging sales tax on rentals to non-members?
Yeah,
we should be. But so in the past, we've never.
Yeah, I can tell you, I file sales taxes on my businesses and anything that's basically a good and service, goods or services. Mm-hmm. Labor, we don't have to charge sales tax for.
Well, could you consider, is there ways to construct that such that it's turned, rentals of the cabins are considered a donation to Deer Springs Ranch? And in that case, you don't have to charge sales tax.
And that may be the way they were doing it. I don't know because
they
just started.
So if they consider it as a donation to a not-for-profit.
I don't think you can consider it
can
a
you
donation.
Do that?
We've never tried to get the service out of it.
Not for members. Right. We don't need to for members.
Can we have now, Willis?
But we've made
of course.
Right.
That's we should ask him about that and see how that would be.
Because he's been doing the taxes every year, and if he's been doing it, there's something we probably don't know about.
Well, but Niall doesn't do, you know, even when Niall did income taxes, he does not do the state quarterly sales tax.
For some reason, we've been
a whole different arm over
here. Right.
We've been turning it in and saying it's not applicable every year.
Well, this letter says we didn't even turn it in.
Right, because I didn't think we needed to. I called them and told them I just received this letter and I need some understanding on
this. No, this is for October 2006.
Barbara did it
through
in
October. December 2006. This is a quarterly thing, every quarter.
Well, how did Barbara have to be filed?
She didn't pay, we didn't have to.
But I mean,
well, there's a form that you fill out, and she may have gone and just put 000 in every category and turned it in.
Right, and that.
And so, you know, the form that's for the first quarter of this year, who has it? The 2007 form.
I haven't received it yet.
Okay, so does Barbara have it?
No, she shouldn't. It should come to $2.
Okay,
54.
You should have received it. It's due at the end of April.
End of April, okay.
For
April,
January through March.
Okay,
yeah. So I was due the month following the quarter.
Right.
And so whether we owe tax, that's one question. Filling out the form or not, that's has to happen. And
right.
And basically, you know, we haven't been collecting taxes, so we don't owe any taxes. We haven't collected the government's money and put it into a separate kit over here. But we probably have some things like selling candy bars and stuff that maybe qualify if somebody like Niall or somebody ought to look into that.
I will check with him then. But I do need your signature on that because I need to send that in for October to December.
That's the person they'll put the handcuffs on.
No, they said technically I could sign it too. I feel more comfortable you signing it because you're the president of the board. But they said no, they won't come after you.
It's only with two E's?
Is anybody on our
only now
on the
I think Gail was the only one. I think
she dropped off.
Yeah, I'm assuming we're still paying the rate as long as we're on.
Go ahead and hang it up.
We should hang it up.
Well, although it's recording and
oh, true.
These recorders functioning?
I have them both sitting there going. There's always the crapshoot of when you turn them on afterwards.
What song is that? That was what we were kind of using this as a backup.
Did we get sent an email with the recording on this?
We're
on
the website, Charlie. Yeah.
Okay. I have all the candy and the stuff we bought for the school.
That's a fun question.
Have we paid taxes on that?
You guys
no.
never meet the same.
Okay, so then we shouldn't.
Really hard.
Okay. Well, we don't know that we were in the right and not paying taxes on it.
If we paid taxes when we bought it, maybe we don't have to.
Okay.
No, well, if we paid taxes, then we should charge tax, but we haven't been charging taxes.
We haven't been.
So we're
I have one more request. May I be excused? I have a
phone. Hello?
Hello?
Well, somebody's there.
Yep, we're still here.
Yeah, Gail's still here too.
Okay.
Don't shut me off.
Okay.
I have a cousin in from San Diego that I've neglected all morning.
Oh, so.
Well, I think we want to get real close to wrapping everything up.
Okay, we need a contract discussion.
Well, what I'm going to do is I got a bunch of stuff I'd like to give to each and every one of you, and then go over it this month, and then we'll come to grips with it.
If that's okay with you.
This is one I got off the internet. Independent Contractors Agreement. It's kind of a boilerplate.
And these are in regards to Olin,
Olin and Linda. And then this is the employment contract that we originally had. So this has all the what we need is on our contract here. We have to put what the duties are. This the original contract that we had with the employees last year, we have the list of them. So I think what we need is just marry some of this stuff into here. But I'd like to have you guys look this over, and then we can get it done.
Okay.
So I have...
I received a list of duties from Candace when I was hired. Yeah. Do you want me to send that to you?
If you two, Linda and Ole, could email to the board...
Those lists?
Your list.
I will.
Because we need to understand... What you understand are
right.
Your duties.
Right.
And you,
I think we need to get this thing signed.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not having them. If everybody get this one? I haven't given you one because we're going through it yet.
Oh,
I didn't do enough of them to give you one.
Well,
that's
should
okay.
I give him one?
Part of this is being instigated because we lost all of our rights with Mark and Shelley, even though they flat out stole from us, vandalized,
I still depend on this
everything. We didn't have anything in writing with them that said we will not steal. So, you know, that'll be in there.
Yeah. Is there one of these for me?
Well, yeah, you put it in there that anything that was taken, it's taken out of the last
secretary.
I thought I had the one with Barbara Button's responsibility.
They were W-2 employees, right?
I'll have to send that to you guys.
That's okay.
So,
yeah.
Now we're paying unemployment benefits for...
We're not.
Well, as a contractor, you don't pay anything.
Right.
But for Mark and Shelley,
we did.
They got money.
As a matter of fact, that's
the employment agreement.
They got all the store money. They got all
the washing money.
They got gasoline money. They got
wash money.
This is
wash money.
They call it. And they have to charge an employee. We should be able to take that out of there.
As an employee,
final check stuff, right?
We should be able to declare what that was.
I mean, if I go, I'm a W-2 employee now. If I go steal from my company, they can turn around and take my check.
I think unfortunately, gave them all the final check before maybe that was...
Yeah, but we can report to the IRS eventually the additional income, according to what they took in terms of out of the laundry money and out of the store money and out of the other things. We can add an extra $30,000 onto their income and let them come up with taxes, the IRS on it.
Well, knowing them, if we did that, then we'd get to pay a higher rate of unemployment for them for doing so.
Be careful next time.
Do we have workers' compensation plans or any of those things? Did we cancel all of those?
I don't know that they're all canceled, but we don't have that.
We might
might want to look at canceling those officially.
Well, I haven't received any interest. Well, I guess I have on
their paid for on an annual basis.
Right.
And with different dates of renewal, so we may get a refund if we called and said, hey.
That's true. Barbara took care of all of that in December, and then now I'm just getting into like the sales tax and those other things that come around now.
Okay. And one last thing
here. I'm on a learning curve.
Okay. One last thing. Ron Mayo had made a list of like things that could up the level of the board in terms of the responsibilities and doing all the things that he feels that is of importance to the members. So he came up with this. I thought, why don't we kind of just look through these and see.
If we adopt these, I am going to resign.
Okay. Well, I need to at least show it to you.
I've got this.
Okay.
I think Ron ought to be.
In fact, because Ron asked for a copy to go to the manager and Linda also.
Oh, okay.
Remember last we reported that we had signed
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And he said, well,
yeah.
Only Linda should sign that too.
Oh, this is Kevin Steps to hire Linda.
Yeah, that's not the employment, that's not the conflict of interest document. That's what he wanted to sign.
That's right. That's right.
Unless you want to read it.
I don't like
Okay, that's all I have. And. In light of running out of time here, I think we did cover the bunkhouse plans, the 10 cents of higher ground, talked about the truck, the new bunkhouse, the employment contract. So I think we've covered the old business and new business.
Okay.
So not...
I'm
okay.
going to leave off of the rest of my managers for the next.
There's a lot to cover.
Well,
Before everybody leaves, make sure that secretary, I guess it's Bob, if you make sure Bob has your phone numbers, email address, so that we can communicate as we move forward with loan plans, house plans, we need to communicate this coming week.
I have their email addresses, so I'll get you with them.
Yeah,
I got theirs, yeah.
Okay.
And
I'm kind of the opinion of Ken Lynch. Although some of these suggestions and recommendations, there's good in all of it, but we can tie ourselves up in a bunch of...
Yeah.
No, we got to...
I can also, if we're talking about emailing us back and forth, I could also set up a separate Yahoo group just for the board and make it private, membership only, and we can use that as a very simple way of doing, you know, you send an email to that one email address, it goes out to everybody on Mac.
I got Yahoo blocked off my computer.
Now, I know there are some people, and I talked to Phil Hall about this, that have, as a default, block for certain websites. And I would say the reason why they would do that is because, by default, it's possible somebody could create a interest group that might not be an appropriate thing for children.
Mm-hmm.
But you can join once and then, you know, put the exception in, join once, and then after that, you don't have to go to the website at all. You just send emails.
Well, that's what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, we've been doing emails anyhow.
That's really easy to do.
We have our own individual groups. We've been doing the emails back and forth.
It's not that big. I hear what you're saying. It saves a step, but it's not that big. Once we got our last...
However you want to do it.
I know what you're saying. But
I would also say that I would really encourage the board to get on board with the DSR group that I've set up, because I think we need to make sure, especially now, that there needs to be much more transparency, much more communication between the board and the members, and the members need to feel like they've got an input in stuff. And I think this is a great tool. It's very simple and easy to do, and once you join, you don't have to go to the website anymore.
I'd like to make one comment on that too, and that is I have made a response to JSR list on several items that have never been passed on to the membership group. Especially the one that I just forwarded onto the board.
Because I've had no messages to it at all, because I monitor it.
I don't know what the deal is, but for some reason or other, it seems like I'm getting screened out on it. So,
I mean,
by the webmaster?
Email?
By the webmaster.
Through the Deer Springs website or through the DSR list.
Or the one that I created? Okay.
No.
There's an existing
DSR list.
See, I'm not a member of that one, so I don't know anything.
Okay, I'm not a member either, and that's Brent Fulmer had...
talked to me at the post office the day before yesterday, and that's how I knew you had sent an email with my computer being down, and your email evidently was in response to something else.
Yes, it was it was in response to something that Ron Mayo had sent in, which was way off the road of where we've been talking. I mean, he's responding to the decisions that we made last December, you know, saying, well, we really shouldn't be doing these things and so forth like that. As the Oversight Committee Chairman, he's telling us.
All right.
And so, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's not just that. There's other things that get on there every now and then. They're way off base. And, I finally got fed up and I said, I'm really tired of this, you know, that people really ought to attend the meetings before they make comments or even take part or put themselves up for being a board member and take the responsibility of the flak as well as just giving the advice. And because there's several people around here that gives lots of advice. And it sounds really good until you follow through, and then all of a sudden they're nowhere to be seen, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of a bad deal.
Maybe.
You may.
Yes.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
So anyhow,
just find it. I don't know.
Okay, but I think we've got to discuss that and get through it, but I kind of agree with Kent. You know, we had a lot of email activity years ago before you were even involved. And I spent a lot of time reading things that took hours to read, hours to respond to each week. And usually the responses were just met back with more rebuttals that took more hours to respond to. And there came a point that I just said, well, I can't read these 24 emails a day that I'm getting on this subject and keep up with the rest of my life. And the email area tends to sometimes be easier for some people that have more free time to spend more time putting things, and then a feeling of unresponsiveness if the board isn't spending the same amount of time and energy responding to it. And I think we have to be at least somewhat careful that we don't get into a lot of negative issues that don't solve any problems and
they're fueled
because some people feel like there should be a more open communication, which takes hours a day to try to keep on top of them.
Well, I would volunteer to be the moderator of that, so if there's anything that's offensive or getting out of control, I would approve anything going on. And also, people can sign on and set it up so that basically the only messages they get are a special notice that I would send out or something that the board would send out, and I could set up all the board members and moderators as well. And you could set it up so that the only time you ever read messages is if you go to the actual website and look at it. So there's lots of ways to do that. I mean, we can talk about it offline as much, but I just think it's such a nice tool that we don't have to go to somebody else with specialized knowledge to do it. And there's so many advantages. It really, you know, people can abuse anything. And I think it's a good tool. The advantages outweigh the disadvantages vastly, I think.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion.